This episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast is brought to you by Dylan Optics Sunglasses. You know those amazing sunglasses that I see, that you see me rocking in every video, the ones with the matte finish? Those are Dylan Optics Sunglasses, and I was a customer before they were a sponsor. These glasses are amazing. Not only do they look unique with their matte finish lenses available in a variety of colors, but also their NIR lens technology filters out more harmful UV rays and keeps your eyes in great working order, whether you work, if you work in tough conditions, if you're like on an oil rig somewhere, you work out in the desert, you're a professional driver of some kind, you need your eyes feeling good all day. And when I'm out in the California sun, these Dylan Optics sunglasses keep me in good working order. So hit the link in, go to thesmokingtire.com and click that partners banner. And if you buy a pair of Dylan Optics sunglasses using that Dylan link, I will send you a free t-shirt for supporting the people who support the Smoking Tire. Also, this episode is brought to you by Crown & Caliber. Crown & Caliber is a luxury secondhand watch retailer out of Atlanta. CrownandCaliber.com. They have sponsored us by hooking me up with a new cool watch to wear every month. So check out my Instagram. This month it's the Panerai Luminor Marina 1950. Beautiful watch. Cameron Weiss and I will be launching our watch podcast called Watch and Listen very shortly in January. That's it for the ads this week, except for the last one, which is the Smoking Tire Podcast is brought to you by Forza Motorsport, the official racing simulator of the Smoking Tire. With over 700 Forza Vista cars. Forza Vista means all working doors, interiors. They're complete cars. You don't just get a little taste of the car with the driving dynamics. It's a complete car. You can poke around and explore all the way through it. 700 cars with more Ferraris, Lamborghinis, and Porsches than any other racing franchise. You can race on some of your favorite famous racetracks such as the Nürburgring and Spa, Road America, Laguna Seca, but also some of their very cool pseudo-fictional tracks, which are tracks that are street circuits made up of, in some cases, real roads throughout the world turned into racetracks. It is great fun. Hit us up, TST Racing on Xbox Live. The Forza Motorsport 7 is available now on Windows 10 and Xbox. Head check out xbox.com/Forza or Forza Motorsport. Sport.net for more details.
This has an option for drink.
Want to do motherfucking show? Motherfucking, so you say drink?
Motherfucking yeah. Speeding.
Is that a drink?
Speeding? Hoa. Hey. Hi-yo. Hi-yo. Hi-yo.
Hey.
Hey. I can't do it. Spinelli, can you do it?
Hi-yo.
There it is. Smoking Tire Podcast. This is where now. We're live. Here's we're in the building. Spinelli's in the
Spinelli.
Building.
Man, I can't believe I'm here.
Stay in spool, kids. It says it on his shirt. It says stay in spool.
You get it?
And it shows a turbo. Get it?
I get it.
Get it?
I love Blip Shift. Do you know that I've been on a Blip Shift buying spree that is unprecedented?
Hashtag sponsored, hashtag ad, hashtag...
No!
Hashtag branding, hashtag partnerships. Sorry.
What? Hashtag SCC.
I forget right? When I come here, Matt's got your audience is like a million people, and so it matters. Like, my audience, like, what? Who's gonna...
What, I'm sorry, matters? Oh, you mean ethics. Ethics matter.
Oh, that. But I lost an ear. Oh, here we go.
What happened?
This is better. No, I am.
Vincent, are you okay? Did you get that? It's a Van Gogh joke. Lost an ear.
That's very good.
Vincent.
That's
Vincent. But Vincent. Vincent. It's because of all the coffee I've had today.
Vincent Van Gogh, go and mail that ear. Which
Vincent
band?
Van Gogh and mail that ear?
Yeah, which name the band?
That's a band or a song?
It's a lyric.
Vincent Van Gogh, that has to be, if I, Spinal
this is
Tap?
Like,
is Spinal Tap?
Oh, wow, no. How old are you guys?
This is like Doug Loves Movies, where you
like,
just keep
old enough to be your
in.
Son.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait a minute, that's patently untrue. And,
no, it's
and,
not.
Well, you are. Well, Zach.
Technically.
You're only a year older than me. You could make a kid when you're 13. Met.
All right,
you could have impregnated
right.
some one of those hot teachers like you see on the news when you yeah. were 14.
Well, not Mike,
and I could be the result of that.
Not Mike.
So, Matt, what are you talking about? Have you seen?
You could
some
have
of the
been
guys?
My Mary Kay Letourneau.
That's true. It's not about looks. It's about power.
It's not. It is about okay. power. So where the fuck Where are we? Oh, wait a minute. No, Beastie Boys.
The song. Oh, that's Beastie Boys.
It's,
it's
Vincent Van Gogh going mail that ear. It's from, I forgot which song, but it's on Paul's Boutique.
If
that,
you had set it out, Vincent Van Gogh going mail that ear.
And all of us said ear at the same time, then I would have been like, oh, it's Beastie
Boys. But normally you know obscure metal bands. So it would be like, oh, you guys don't know? That's like Satan's Hairbrush. Like, oh, okay.
Do you think when they were forming the Beastie Boys, Mike D and MCA that just sat down and went, okay, here's how this is going to go. We go round robin. Everyone says their line. We all say the last word of every phrase. And they went, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Break.
That's cool.
And then
that's
they did that for like 25 years.
I think a lot of rap went that way.
It was a good model for, you know, for three guys. I mean,
you know, for three Jews from,
from Brooklyn.
At least two of them were Jews. Are they all Jews?
I would say all.
MCA was definitely a Jew.
I think all.
Are they all
Adam
Jews?
Adam Yauch for sure.
Adam, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, all three. Because they were Shadrach, Meshach, Michael, and Abednego. So that's...
But Michael Diamond, what was his real name? Or was Michael Diamond?
Diamond? Yeah, yeah.
That's not a Jewish name.
It's not.
It's Michael a Jewish Diamond? Business.
Michael Diamond is...
That's like naming yourself John Tax Accountant.
It's Jewy.
Well, it could. I mean,
Tim, would you mind googling if the Beastie Boys are Jewish?
I feel like it's a fighter's name.
Pretty sure.
Like, what's
they
your
are.
Like?
They are?
Hey, how are you doing? We're forming a rap group. What's your name? The guy's like Mike Diamond, and like I fucked your sister. So yeah, let me in the group, or I'll fucking hit you.
It's not Diamond Jim Brady. Mike, to see that guy.
Is your name Michael Diamond? No, my name's Clarence. Like that. Remember that lyric?
Yes, I do.
Paul's Boutique was weird though. They always had like three bangers and then a very psychedelic. Just like here's
one we wrote on mescaline.
Yeah, definitely.
Except it was, here's one we wrote on mescaline. Oh,
no. They had some slow ones on Paul's Boutique. You're like, is this an interlude? Is this the same CD? It is the same CD.
Well, it was the Dust Brothers, right? Came up with all of those tracks,
that's
and
true.
they were sort of psychedelic. You know, remix guys back in the day. So that's...
They were the old electronica.
Yeah, electronica.
So the Brooklyn Bred Trio is widely considered to be the best Jewish hip-hop act of all time.
The only, also.
Modest Yahoo, bro. Kind of.
I'm
not saying he's better.
No, he's not.
In some ways, I think he is.
He's probably reggae. More Jewish.
He was more Jewish.
He's got more vowels in his name, so that's...
And I think he's better at some things. I don't know, man. Beastie Boys, with the exception of a couple songs, never really did it for me, honestly. The couplets... I have an aversion to couplets.
Well, not everything was a couplet. I mean,
well, there was a lot of motherfucking couplets. Beginning to the end of career, the couplets spanned it. Although I loved Sabotage.
Yes.
I'm 35. Everyone my age, Sabotage was where... With that video... That video, was it Spike Jones? It was,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was, yeah. Fuck.
I like Eggman. I like Intergalactic. Like, I can listen to all those a lot. I have to listen to the big, like... singles hits. I really like
every album up to Intergalactic. I didn't get past it, like the you know, the New York one and the what?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know, but nothing newer than Sabotage.
Well, the Intergalactic was 1999, right? Yeah. So that was a freaking long time ago at this point. So
that song is so full of couplets, though. There's so many goddamn couplets.
They're veal couplets. The veal couplets. And
okay, guys, the lyric is "Don't you tell me to," and then we all say "Smile." It's like a
you're right.
It's like a church chorus.
Stick around and make a word show. Wow. You're right.
That's a lot of Beastie Boys.
It is. It's a lot.
So much of it. But.
Speaking of 1999, when we were on our little walk just now to get coffee, we started talking about the typhoon, and because our neighbor has an SSR, mm-hmm. and we're like, where did that come from? And then he was theorizing that maybe the typhoon came from Group Bizzle.
Well,
Group Bizzle.
I mean, you know what? Not exactly. It's not like Chevy had a Group B.
I'm not trying to throw in a bus. I'm trying to...
Oh, group
no.
Jesus.
Group Bizzle.
I was like, were you trying to say the thing around a gauge cluster again?
No, then I would have said Bizzle.
Is that a callback to another
is
podcast?
Is the typhoon a Group B thing? No. What?
Well, no. Okay, no. Not directly. Indirectly, maybe twice removed. And hear me out.
Put your tin hat foil hats on, kids.
Let me bump my tin foil hat on.
So GM engineers were in deep with Group B.
You could do Alex Jones.
Oh, yes.
Do you do an Alex Jones?
Hang on, let me work myself up a little first.
Just hold your breath for 25 seconds.
Emails for a second.
Get your face red.
What was I supposed to yell about again?
That the typhoon came out of a Group B inspired.
Goddamn typhoon!
I'm going to have to edit that peaking later. It's going to be terrible.
Was that a bad peak? Sorry.
we're losing our male essence. No, I mean, because, you know, we were talking about the evolution of all-wheel drive in America, right? So it was in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s, Subaru was like, oh, what do you need that crap for?
Because yeah.
the guy down the street with the lifted Blazer was what all-wheel right. drive or four-wheel drive was before that. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, now, you know, moms and dads had all-wheel drive cars. And then we were trying to think of what was the first performance-oriented all-wheel drive car in America, and I thought it might be
Performance-oriented all-wheel drive car in America.
Subaru XT.
What about an AMC?
AMCs, yeah, AMC Eagle.
That's not a performance car. That's a
wait,
truck.
Wait, so how far are we going back? 80s, right?
Well, can I just say this? My parents came like a hair's breadth of getting an AMC Eagle station wagon. And it was only because I really wanted them to get it because it was.
I still want one.
Who was it the other day who just reminded me that new Mercedes portal axle station Johnny. Wagon looks exactly like a fucking AMC Eagle?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, was that Johnny?
No, Johnny.
No,
wouldn't have
but
said
someone
that.
Reminded me that oh, man. And I can't unsee it now.
It's 100%.
So a performance all-wheel drive system. I mean,
in America, because I mean,
the Cyclone was 91. So right. we got to go pre-91.
Yeah.
So were there any fast Subarus pre-91?
I mean, no. not fast, no. fast, but there was the 80. I mean, the XT was like 87, right?
What the that fuck had all-wheel drive in the 80s?
That was like a Power Ranger costume on an actor. Because well, it looked nothing. Like it went a zillion miles an hour.
It's kind of true. It had a very cool dash cluster, though.
Well, sure. R32 GTR was 89. Okay. No, not in America.
Well, we're getting
right. We're
seeing
not in America.
Yeah. BMW 325 XI was available
was
in the 87, 88.
Yeah, 80s. Yeah, yeah.
That, I think that okay. counts. That's a performance all-wheel drive system to me.
I think that counts.
I don't think it was intended to be.
Audi,
but it was good.
Audi Quattro. Well, obviously Audi Quattro.
Right. So,
not
so
America,
what was?
Though.
Well, what was
you
the
could,
first?
You could buy Audi Quattros
what
in America.
Was it the GT?
Is that all we want? That you can buy in America?
That'd be performance, like
American
too.
Made or on well, the market in America?
On the market in America. Was
Audi,
it was Audi.
Audi.
Audi
100%
yeah.
Audi.
Yeah, yeah the okay. Audi.
Audi GT Coupe.
Audi GT
yeah,
Coupe.
5,000.
Yeah, wait a minute.
5,000 was such a big car.
How about, no. No, I would say maybe Volkswagen Synchro, but those were more like utility off-roady,
yeah.
not like
yeah.
rally-y.
Right.
Rally stagey.
Wait, when was the Rabbit all-wheel drive?
The Golf Country?
Yeah.
The 80s, late 80s.
I wonder if that was before the 325.
I told Thaddeus, actually, he should buy a Golf Country.
Here or in Dubai?
Buy one over there in Europe and bring it back here.
Yeah.
Cheap, you pull up your Golf Country picture?
Yeah, man.
They're still cheap, whereas the Synchros are like expensive.
Same with the 3 Series wagons over there. You can
yeah.
get them for like $4,000 and ship them over.
Yeah, look at that. Top left.
Dude.
I like the top left. That's,
oh.
that's what's up. Pull
Wasn't
that
there,
up.
Was there one of these on Bring a Trailer recently?
There's
somewhere?
Always. There's a couple of them a
That's
year.
A great build.
Yeah, yeah. That's
but
nice.
Like, I told Dad he should do one of those and then come out with me and my Safari Porsche
mm-hmm.
and we can go on a
you
trip.
Should. You
Are
know
you
what
trying I, to like snipe social media on our podcast right now,
that's
Mike?
A good, We're doing good photo, a Mike.
yeah,
We're doing a thing here, can't right. you tell?
You know what I saw today? Coming up in the rear view, I saw, speaking of Safari cars, I was like, whoa, this Subaru is really rowdy. It's like lifted. It's got a bar on top. This is like an overland machine. Guy passes me. It's a Subaru Baja with a lift, and it has two lawnmowers in the back.
Oh.
Like, someone bought it. Yeah, someone bought like a salvage Baja and just used it as a work truck. But on the way toward me, I was like, look at this. This guy must be driving to Peru.
He's like, I gotta go.
He's like,
this
no, I am from
lawn,
Peru.
Bro. That's just where I got here from. Shit. So how's it going, Spinelli?
All right. Okay.
Do we have an ending to wherever direction we were heading down there?
Well, so, I mean, we could tie a bow on this by talking about the Cyclone, right? So it was the Cyclone.
Yes.
To
me, Cyclone was about 0 to 60 times.
Yes.
And it was about beating what was then the Lightning.
Yes.
The Lightning came out in like 89.
Okay.
The GM, the 454 SS was a hunk of shit. It was a dog. Then GM, they killed the GNX and the Grand National, but they wanted to keep going with the turbo technology, so they stuck it in the truck.
Okay, good. All right, where did they get that diff from? Or the center diff? Was it a?
I think that's a fucking 4x4 diff. I don't think that is anything special at all.
It's just some Borg
Warner
thing.
There's nothing special.
about the 4x4-wheel drive system in that car.
When you drove the crazy one in Nevada, was that like a different all-wheel drive system, or was that stock?
Fuck, I don't remember. I mean, honestly, that was like 4 years
ago. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
I mean, that truck was a manual,
mm-hmm.
and the Cyclone never came in a manual. It was always automatic only.
Okay.
So who the fuck knows what he did? If I had to, do you have anything on that?
The Jensen FF.
Oh, I just saw you pulled that up.
Well done,
first
sir.
First performance all-wheel drive system, you know, Jensen FF.
If Johnny were here, he'd be horrified. Someone was
screaming at their iPod for the last 20 minutes that we completely ignored.
That car has a great Jensen front FF. Fender and then terrible everything else. Oh
my There's God. Been one
but
of
the
them,
next generation
one
was
of
really
them
cool.
sitting at checkered flag for like 2 years.
How much?
Fucking too much, obviously. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you want to talk about a car where it's like the market for that car, there's no market for someone under 60 years old for that car. It just doesn't exist.
No. I mean, I would probably, that would be my seventh car, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it would be, but I don't think it would be less than seventh. I think I could go probably seventh.
You know
what
would be fucking kick ass if you wanted to do some sort of a pro touring type of build is if you were to take an R32 GTR powertrain and stick it in a fucking Jensen Interceptor. That would be exceptional.
Because some of the fronts almost look like a Chevelle Malibu, but like a shooting brake. Not that one. Like the blue one down in the bottom left corner. Like it's just got a little bit of that to it.
All right, so
make sure you bring that picture over so everybody can see it.
What's the cheapest, worst Interceptor body you can get? That's the question, because that
are there many different ones? I thought they were just all. There was a convertible, and
no,
then
but
there
I
was
mean,
that. And
I mean,
that's it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what would it cost to if you found like the barn find? That's a complete piece of shit.
Five grand, 3 grand,
there
2 grand.
Go. So that's not bad
for something that you have to do. Who knows how much to?
Well, that you then take the R32. Were you saying?
You'd then go find like a hail damaged R32 with a body that was completely trashed, and you know,
and you spend a lot of money to put it in, or do it yourself.
You'd smash your head into a wall for 3 years, and then maybe you'd have a car.
You send it to Beas for build.
Yeah,
he would do it.
Yeah,
in like a month.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, random side. I just speaking of weird, oddball pro touring cars. Do you remember I drove that weird little Honda N600 that had the bike motor in it that revved at 12?
Yeah.
So the guy who built that, his name is Dean Williams. He was not the guy who owned it, not the guy who brought it to drive. The guy who actually built it. He came out last week with a Volvo P1800 he built that has a GM Ecotec. The turbo motor in it with a 6-speed manual gearbox, like full, and it's like not like crazy fast or anything, but like, you know, it's double the stock horsepower. It's like 240 horsepower or something. And it was fucking cool, and like
that's very cool.
Yeah, and it looks basically stock.
A lot more reliable. How did it sound?
Like a Cobalt SS. Okay. It wasn't like farty. He made it quiet.
That's cool.
You heard a little turbo whoosh, but like overall it was just like a quiet 4-cylinder.
Okay.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just that picture of that Jensen Interceptor on the screen over there made me think of this guy's Volvo P1800.
I mean, unfortunately, I love the Interceptor just because of what it is, but it's not the best looking car. Look at
Pull that up. This guy Eleanor'd an Interceptor.
That's as good looking as it gets, and it's only because I can't see a lot of it.
You know what? If you ditch the stripes on that, it wouldn't be terrible.
It's like you got an A pillar, the corner window, then a B, then it's like there's a lot of pillars going on and window support. It just kind of makes it look strange. If that was all pillarless,
I bet you that's not the ugliest Jensen Interceptor on the homepage of the Google search results. Leave that screen up on so everyone can look. Let's go back and find there's the ugliest. Make sure they can
that
see
that gold
it,
one's bad.
Tim. That is
ooh,
that. Actually see, kind of cool. That one's got like some NASCAR shit happening.
Oh, look,
there.
It's a 911 Targa. Oh, shots fired.
Well, I think there's got to be an uglier one in there somewhere.
It's got stenciled tires, though.
But it has good NASCAR, like the spray paint stenciled tires.
Yeah. If you put all the windows down, it's like
I tried
Camaro.
Those glue-on letters that everyone's doing now. Yeah. I don't really like them.
No?
Because it's the same thing, like their shtick is that they don't fade. Like those spray painted stencils, they don't get brown like that and crack, but I actually think the browning and fading is sort of an appeal.
Oh, you want it to look more.
And when they look clean and fresh all the time. It looks like Snickers.
Yeah.
It's yeah. weird. Teach their own. I know what you mean. I like when it looks like old race tires. But
yeah, that looks like old race tires. That's cool. So what are you in town for, Spinelli?
Good looking car.
So I happen to be here for the LA Auto Show. Maybe you've heard of it. I come here every year.
Try to avoid it.
I'm just here for the parties and the shrimp.
What? Do you have the shirt still?
I didn't bring it, but I have it.
He had it made for NBC show. It just says I'm here for the shrimp.
I'm only here for
awesome.
The shrimp. But I found
it's the perfect event for the shirt, dude.
Totally. I know I should have probably done it, but the shirt was amazing because I was like, I got to make a shirt like that. And then I went on this stupid online shirt company, whatever the hell it was. Actually, it's a pun on something. Speed shirt? I don't know. Something. Whatever.
It's a pun. It's called Crystal Math.
The clearest, the clear-headed tutoring for your children.
Well done. And I found this great clip art of shrimp cocktail. And now most clip art of shrimp cocktail is terrible.
That's true. I've been saying it for years.
That is a phrase I just heard. Most clip art of shrimp cocktail is terrible.
Right. 100%.
Really?
And so I found this great clip art of shrimp cocktail, and I was like, now the shirt just made itself. So that's what happened.
Upset because I've been donating money to Red Cross now for 5 years trying to address the clip art shrimp cocktail problem.
Mm.
Nothing. Yeah. No progress. I'm very upset. Progress.
And yet, countries led by dictators have abundance.
Have an amazing shrimp cocktail.
Lots of them.
The shrimp cocktail. The trains run on time, and there's shrimp cocktail caricatures all over.
They're
the
skimming
city.
Off the top.
Yeah, go to any CD-ROM in the coal country, and you'll find
The Berlin Wall was really just a canvas for shrimp cocktail.
you're going to an auto show that's mostly attended by
journalists,
and you don't bring the shirt that they would get.
Yeah, I guess I should have. I mean, instead I brought my 12 Blip Shift shirts and
hashtag Blip Shift. Hashtag sponsored, hashtag SG, hashtag
hashtag human Instagram.
Branding. Yeah.
But yes, LA Auto Show, I don't want to say it's my least favorite show because I like LA and I like being here and the weather's great, but and the parties are great. So it is the shrimp show. Of all car shows, right? There's a lot of sales meetings and crap that goes on.
It doesn't have a lot of exotic debut stuff. Like, we were looking at the list, and it was, an i8 Roadster.
I'm actually kind of stoked for that.
The new CLS. Like,
yeah.
There's no new Ferrari FXXX or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a JL Wrangler, though.
The new Wrangler.
that's one of the big things.
But wouldn't you think that LA would be where AMG did its cars instead of New York?
I guess that's why the CLS is here. I mean, that's a very popular car in LA.
I guess, but I mean, but like New York is the AMG show. Like, shouldn't LA be the AMG show?
Isn't that because? Oh, they're in Atlanta now, aren't they? Their headquarters isn't even there.
Maybe
I was gonna say if it's because it's by their headquarters. Well, yeah, I feel like you know why it is. I really feel like LA is the end of the season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like people want to buy cars. People are looking at cars. People are in the spring.
Yeah.
And so by a lot of the New York debuts, it's like they are released and, at least for the more consumer-oriented cars, they're then on sale in the summer and they take pre-orders and whatever. But like, aside from the occasional fucking Lexus with a bow on it, like not a lot of car shopping happening in November and December. So that's my hypothesis.
Matthew, I find that to be a very strong hypothesis.
I also wonder if, because LA is such a car-centric community, like LA's going to buy them anyway.
It doesn't even
matter. Yeah, we know. They don't need to sell them to us.
If you have in New York, people are going to fly from overseas to that show, but they're not going to fly to the LA show because it's 6 hours farther. So
that's true.
You don't think they draw the European audience?
I doubt it. Yeah.
I saw some Chumans yesterday. That's Bill's. I went out for breakfast. And, oh, my God, it was, like, fucking crazy Porsche everywhere in the canyons. It was just, like, full of fucking Porsches. But there were some Germans. You could spot the German Porsche engineers from, like, so far away.
Capri pants with a sweater.
They were driving one of the new Cayennes in a really cool new color that was, like, this blue. And there's a picture of it on Spike's Instagram. But they were where was I even going with that? I don't know, but they were enjoying the canyons in the new Cayenne and asking for directions to the good roads.
Ah, it's good roads.
I hear there's lots of good canyons. Very nice.
Was it like a Porsche company car?
They were driving like the new Cayenne. Yeah, it should. Was it up at the top of Instagram? Just from yesterday? No. Oh, it would have been there. No.
Check out that AMG GTC. So that's on the top left there, Timmy. That that is a seafoam green. Paint a sample.
It's not coming through on that shot.
On the picture, it doesn't really work. But that's like a straight teal seafoam green.
I don't think it would work in person. But
it was pretty cool. That's this like woman Diane Warren, who's like a famous songwriter.
Oh my god, the famous songwriter wrote every song.
Yeah,
she wrote every.
She wrote Bad Boys.
She wrote Bad Boys.
I stopped reading Wikipedia after I saw that. I was like, she's famous,
dude. In the '80s,
she wrote everything.
She wrote every ballad. She like that rock ballad era. Diane Warren wrote everything.
Yeah,
like you look at an Aerosmith album from like a.
Did she write like I Don't Want to Miss a Thing?
Yes, totally, 100%, 100%. No doubt. I've
actually spoken to her like a whole bunch of times without knowing who she was, and then someone was like, "She just rolled up in that AMG." I was like, "Is this woman like a baller?" And Spike's
holy
like,
shit.
"Yeah, it's Diane Warren." Dude, I was like, "Oh fuck me,
she's got a piece, so nice. She's got a piece of every song."
Oh my god, she's so rich.
If it's not her, it's Desmond Child was the other one, right?
There was an article that was I think it was on Cracked or something. It was like the four people you've never heard of that own 90% of the music industry, exactly. And it was like her and that Desmond Child. He's the guy with the braids, right? The
yes.
long braids,
yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote everything she didn't write. That's like.
And then there's like this Jewy looking guy, Ira something or other. And then there's like a 40-year-old white lady.
Right.
And collectively they've written every song ever.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, her output of songs is just. I mean, hundreds of songs a year, it seems like.
Yeah.
The people truly behind the music are really entertaining. Like the people that have written the Backstreet Boys songs and NSYNC songs, and it's like they look like 300-pound like Call of Duty gamers, and it's just
remember,
like I wrote this song about getting love in high school and having lots of sex.
Well, remember like, the video of the guys behind Milli Vanilli?
Oh,
remember that? The guys right. The people who actually sang Blame It on the Rain, and it looked like it was like a high school play and the faculty were singing like
it was amazing because those. I mean, they looked like. But when you saw them singing that, like you went, oh yeah. That's what you look like when you sing like that, because you have resonance. You're a large person with.
You're not like doing.
Yeah, you're not doing
the super hair.
I don't know. Can you? What
Blame
is this called?
It on the
is
rain.
That the Axl?
I mean, Axl did it first.
So
I think.
The white guy, like that's in Hitch. Here's where you live, right here. Don't get fancy. No. Right here.
Guilty pleasure of that movie. It's a totally. Funny lines and fucking
Kevin James, very funny dude.
Yeah. Drive anything good recently?
God, have I not driven dick?
Really?
It's
kind
funny.
Of fucking automotive journalist. Well,
wait,
are you?
I'm you had more a Ferrari FFE. On
oh,
FFE.
So all right. So have you driven the Lusso T yet?
No, I'm waiting my turn very, very patiently. But I'm actually excited for it. I hear it's great.
It is great. And the problem that everybody has with it is that it's not a 12, and that of course the big Ferrari GT has to have a 12.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they're making it is I don't know what the real reason they're making it is, but they're saying that they can they're going after younger buyers who aren't as tethered to that old Ferrari
sure.
GT ethos.
Yeah.
Are
they not making two versions of that car, one with a 12 and one with an 8? I thought they
yes.
were. They are, right?
Yes.
You can
yeah.
get the 12
oh, sure.
still.
Sure. Yeah. Older buyers tend to go for the 12.
Is the 12 still called the
It's the
FF?
It's the No. It's the GTC 4 Lusso.
Right. But
right? And the T at the end is the turbo V.
So it's Lusso version. And Lusso T. Those
Lusso
are your
Lusso
two.
T.
Okay.
That's
right,
what
cool.
you got. Yeah,
so
exactly.
you drove the T?
Drove the T. And it is that the problem is that engine is so good.
It's a 48
good.
Motor, right? Or is it a California motor?
It's a California T motor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's general, it's like kind of 70% of 605.
Oh, okay, so it's halfway between the California
yeah.
T and the 48 power output.
Exactly. Yeah. So, God, but great! It revs. It wants to rev like you want to rev.
Yeah.
It. It's like it's probably the best turbo V8 ever built. Like that's I think
maybe,
that you can
maybe
go.
McLaren's could be up there.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean McLaren's is a little. I mean they both have. The
I have not had a go in the 720. Everyone says the 720 is really where it's at, but
it does not sound. I wouldn't call it the best turbo V8 ever just because of the sound. Like, I mean, the sound outside the car of the 720 is like,
best, you know, sounding turbo V8.
That's what I mean. Like AMG? like the 570 GT. Ooh, no, when you're in it is kind of quiet. And then I remember when I was on the Autobahn, Will got on the radio and he's like, "That sounds amazing." And I could hear the exhaust through his radio, and I was like, "Oh, I wish it sounded like that in here."
Yeah. Yeah. I just drove a fucking Mercy this morning. I drove a gated shifter Mercy this morning, an 03, with an exhaust on it that in the drive-bys was like, you're crazy. But in the car, you got none of it. Wow. You only got induction noise. You got zero exhaust noise.
I think that's very important. Do you hear more in the Lusso because the engine's in front of you and you know, you're like kind of more in the soup?
The Lusso is disappointingly... it's not a bad sound. I mean, but... because it revs, you know, it revs in the sevens. So, like, by the time you're up there, it's you know, there's some meat to it. But it's not a great sound. It's really subdued when you're outside the car.
Right?
It's muted. Yeah, it's got
the
sport
like super
exhaust.
Valved.
Yeah.
Can you put it in loud mode all the time, or is it throttle dependent?
It's mode dependent. So you can.
Right, but if you drive it around in sport all the time or track,
then it's always gonna be open. Yeah.
Well, does it sound good when it's open? I mean, because obviously it's a GT car.
I mean,
you want it
better.
To be able to be quiet if you're just cruising.
I mean, the problem is if the 12 didn't exist, if you hadn't ever heard the 12.
How much cheaper is it, you know?
$40,000 cheaper.
$40,000 is quite a lot of cheaper.
That's right. I think.
Well, it's 10 grand a cylinder.
Here's the thing. I think it's for.
Right?
It's 10 grand a cylinder. I think it's for women. I think women will buy this. I think women in, you know, where?
I think
probably
it's too big and phallic looking for women.
I mean, I can't speak for
Do women buy big G? I mean, think about the market. Think about every Mercedes CL, Aston DB9 or Vanquish, you know, big GT coupes.
Right.
What percentage of those that you see are driven by women?
Tiny. Ooh. Small.
Very
like
small.
Like a 20th, maybe.
Very,
yeah.
And even then, the only ones I'm thinking of are SLs and Bentley GTs.
Right.
I've seen some DB9
occasionally
driven by women.
In Aston.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Totally. And it's, you know, they're definitely not going after women, and they're definitely not talking about going after women. I mean, in any...
Yeah.
Not in the way that lot of other people have been going after women lately.
Do you
lately,
think this affords... Does this afford them some sort of CO2... Some improvement in their overall cafe rating or something?
There are a couple of things, right? So you don't... there's road taxes in places like Ireland and places like, you know... Well,
they're displacement-based.
Displacement-based.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, it's under 4 liters, right? So in China, the difference between a, you know, a 5-liter engine or a 6-liter... What's the 12 is a 6,
a 6,
right?
I believe.
So the difference between a 6 and a 3.9-liter turbo is thousands of dollars... in import tax.
Yeah.
So there's that. So for China, it's, I mean, if you know, you have kind
well,
of...
Well, there's, I mean, look, the reality is if you're a global company selling luxury cars,
right.
If you don't have a product you could sell in China, you're just stupid.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, and they're making a calculation that more countries are going to go toward a displacement-based road tax. So that means every single year. So if you own that in Ireland... If you own the 6-liter, it's thousands of dollars a year just to run it.
And the V8 is super fast anyway, so it's not like you're really losing anything.
I mean, a tenth to 60.
Yeah.
I bet you there are certain circumstances that the turbo motor feels significantly quicker.
Probably. I mean, back-to-back would be interesting.
Probably under 5,000 RPM.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're like in the old merge onto the highway kind of scoot thing, you know, I bet you the turbo motor feels great.
Mm-hmm.
And Ferrari motors and Porsche motors and McLaren motors, which are naturally high revving, are particularly adept at blending nicely with turbochargers.
Yeah. True. 100%. And that's the best thing about this motor. But the other thing is, like, the car itself is so good, right? I mean, it feels edgy. It feels like a Ferrari should feel, even at that size. Steering is quick.
Does it have that super fast steering ratio they all have now?
Yeah, but not in a bad way. It doesn't feel too
bad,
quick.
Yeah.
It's like your hands are moving on center because it's not, you know, it doesn't just stop and the world stops when you're going straight. You're sort of always.
You're always there
a little bit. Yeah, I just love that Ferrari thing that they've created as, you know, just to drive, just driving a regular car.
They are lovely. They're nice lovely. Because, like, they're at least the 488 was so fast, and I drove it for a week,
And it was just so easy.
Yeah.
Like, it was, there was no, it's the only, one of the very few, I mean, I suppose 911 Turbo S as well would be the similar kind of thing where there's just zero compromise at all. It asks like nothing from you.
Right.
You just fucking drive it.
It's yeah.
Like, it's crazy that we live in a world where Ferraris work now.
It's great.
It's like, you know, oh, wow, okay, weed's legal now and Ferraris work. Like, fucking brave new world, right? Who would have known? Shit.
Yeah.
It's a good time to buy a 458, I might add. Throw that one in there. Yeah. When the special edition of the new ones starting to come out, like whenever, whatever the special 488 is going to be,
yeah,
that's the time to buy an early one of the one beforehand.
Ah. Why do you say that?
There's a
it's just the way the curve
trickle
the curve
down. The interest always.
Yeah, like people will bail out of their 458s to get into the new one, and there'll be a glut on the market, which will depreciate the prices. Yeah. And like, it sort of happened in a cycle.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Just
fairly predictable.
So not the Speciale yet, because that's one.
Do you know how much money they want for fucking Speciales?
Oh my god,
Speciales and Apertas. People are asking like $700,000-$800,000.
That's insane. But it's
you drove that thing in Dubai though.
Oh my god,
have you driven a 488?
Just a regular 488.
Yeah. Speciale twice the car that a 488 is. Make that face. It's not. You know it's not.
The Aperta is
buy a 488 nuts. And take the fucking floor mats out. Here's your Speciale. Done.
No, that.
Take out all the carpet. Done. See, now it's aluminum.
Take out the carpet and rev it to 9,500 and then see what happens. I mean, honestly, when that car at full throttle.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
It's lovely.
But this always makes me think of, though, is. Especially living here, how many times can you rev a car to 9,500 RPMs? So if you have a car with the V8 turbo that you can use the power band a lot more, and you're basically having more fun per dollar and minute than you are when you go, let me get this big straight, open road and go.
I get the appeal, but the dollar value is not appropriately translating to the experience you're getting.
If you're three schmucks doing a TV show on the road to nowhere on Jebel Jais, and there are no other cars on the road. I get it.
He had a good day.
It was really, really good.
But when you came back from the 488 and you were like, this is amazing. Everything's amazing. Yeah. It handles well. The steering feels good. It's fast as fuck.
Yeah.
That's what the special ones used to be. And everything just keeps getting better.
Well, the Speciales are like, they're raw and shit. But what the turbo cars have is that thrust.
Yeah.
There's no, I just drove this Merce, which was glorious. I mean, anyone who didn't buy a Merce stick when they were 120 grand 4 years ago is a fucking moron, including me, because it was the best. But like, you step on it at $3,000 and it slowly builds, and like, it's pulling hard at $7,000, but like, it's this big 580 horsepower V12, like monster motor.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're used to the turbo cars at $3,000, you're like, wow, it's and granted, you can go down another gear and you could roll into it from 5 instead of 3, sure, but like, the kind of, 3,500, put your foot to the floor and get that mega shove.
That's the usability argument. I mean, ultimately,
and the mega shove lasts a long time.
But that's also a fun argument. It's not just usability. It's like, what is more fun, having that torque down low from there or waiting, payoff?
Wow. Wow. The world has really, really changed, hasn't it? Because, honestly, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, when you drive a car like that, it's exciting. And nobody on the internet can tell you that it's not, right? That it's not more exciting to drive a car with a torque curve that starts at your feet.
Yeah.
The other thing about the Ferrari, that engine is cool that they do, is the graduated boost. Right, so
the boost by gear.
The boost by gear is real. So it actually feels like it's like a little bit more of that megaphone shaped torque curve.
That's
so it builds you get that thrust, and then you get this exciting kind of
Does that make each successive gear feel as fast as the preceding one?
Faster,
because it's like, if you have 15 PSI in second, and then 18 in third, and then 22 in fourth, oh my God, it's just as
in
fast
as 488, it's like the 3-4, I think, where fourth feels faster than third.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
You have to be going very, very quick.
That is
I think that was it. The Venom GT was really the king of that.
Well, that
because
must
it was
been,
like, you got 900 in second and 1,000 in third and 1,100 in fourth and 1,200 in fifth. And it was like, you got that feeling 4 times in a row. And you're like,
whoa,
what planet am I on? This is the craziest shit ever.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, I mean, the Ferrari, this is sort of, this is kind of an, you know, an efficiency play and a little bit of the CO2 thing, but I mean, max torque is in sixth gear. So, you know, it's...
Max torque is in sixth gear.
Sixth gear, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so if you're in, you know, so it's sort of, it's a little bit of gaming the test. But,
yeah, yeah.
But it works for the numbers, so mm-hmm. that, you know. They're just really
I bet
smart.
You it's great. And how much is that thing? Is it 300?
It's three. Oh no, sorry. Two. It's, God, I'm forgetting the numbers.
It's
got to
be over
360.
Three.
Is it 260?
Oh really? Under
starts
three.
Starts at 260 because oh. there's your $40,000 difference.
Yeah.
So,
but I bet you nice. It starts at 260 means no one's getting one under three.
No. You're spending.
You paint that thing blue and it's 290.
I asked that. It's funny. I asked that question to the product planning guy whether the people were going to spend. The margin
the
on new on mm-hmm. stuff and like the transaction price will end up being the same, and I don't think he understood the question. I asked him like yeah. three times,
I bet you they would get an equivalent amount of options. I don't think you, yeah. I don't think they're spending an extra 40 because they saved 40.
Well, yeah, they're getting.
I don't
the,
see that happening.
They're getting the $16,000 panoramic roof though, because that thing is.
Is
dope.
It a biggie? Is it a yes, nice big one?
It's really nice. And then the other thing with that car is you could sit in the back seat, and you probably will be sort of comfortable.
That's impressive.
I'm really comfortable.
I gotta get around to Joe again and get that thing on the schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta.
I honestly, truthfully, really would have wanted to have a go.
Yeah.
Did you drive that? Is that? Did you put that picture up of that new Vantage? Did you drive it, or did you just look?
No,
at
no.
It?
That's March. Will be. I think will be.
Did
the
someone? Launch. Did someone drive it?
No one drove it yet. No.
So they just sent out the press release.
Wow. Okay. So this is a good thing to talk about.
It's
I really
not very
wanna,
good looking.
I really want to talk
but,
about
Tim,
the
can you
looks.
Go, get some other pictures so we can see other angles of the.
They put
new,
out all the
18, 2018 Vantage, V8 Vantage. Is it 18 or 19?
19. Wow, 19.
New Aston, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Just look up new Aston Martin Vantage or something.
It's
and, that yell. It's that mouth, bro. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's,
so I went to. I actually saw it last month.
That's the,
in the UK. Okay. I went to Gaydon. I got a preview of it, and it was under embargo until recently.
That's
like
not
week.
It. That's a concept.
That's the DB10.
That's not the correct picture, sir. It's the yellow cars.
Yeah.
Down, go down. The yellow. It's a real car. Yeah. That's
yeah,
it.
There you go.
But we need to. Yeah, that's a good picture. It's this mouth. I mean, I'm sure it has some sort of function from a cooling perspective. Yeah. But.
All right.
Well,
so,
I would say that pretty. I hope it does because, you know, the Civic Type R has a giant mouth, but most of it is blocked off. So right. Hopefully, you know.
I mean, there are a lot of things
there,
about
that. Let's see that. Yeah. That. Oh my God! From that angle, it couldn't be uglier.
It's really it's such a strange car to me because
that is a Miata with
an
LC500 valence.
Yeah.
Well,
from other angles, I would like. I have liked the way it looked, but sorry, go ahead. That's interesting.
Well, no, it's interesting because every angle makes the car look like a different car. And I know that's
the
a designer's...
The Carmen Electra of sports cars.
Wow. The sir. Carmen Electra?
Well
every
done.
Every photograph Carmen Electra is in, she looks like a fucking different person.
That's why I liked her so much.
Completely inconsistent from photograph to photograph.
Really? Variety-craving brain was like...
Right? That's why Matt's at that part of the table. That's 100%
true, right?
of the thing. Yeah. Well, okay, there you... Right.
Yes. Sounds good.
Well,
that's
let the audience enjoy this as well. Some Carmen Electra.
See, now she looks fantastic.
So, yeah, she does look fantastic, but
she looks
like a different person in
than,
like,
say,
so many photographs.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, like, that's the same person.
Yeah, not the same. You're right. It does not look like the same person.
That's 8 years later, I hope. I hope.
You know, I didn't specify.
All right, maybe.
Trust me, you can play this game at home and just make a Carmen Electra slideshow where it looks like you're looking at 50 different chicks.
That photo looks like she walked up to a college barbecue in, like, 2015 and was like, you guys got Bud Light? What's going on? Like, holy
shit,
what are you doing here?
Tara Reid doing that exact thing where her stomach looked like, fuck it.
Tara Reid.
Just found out one of my buddies from high school banged Tara Reid, actually.
Really?
Even though it was kind of during that period, I'm still proud
Wait
of
a minute, like Down and Out in Beverly Hills era or later?
That's a great reference. Mm. It's more like, I don't even know, botched
American,
plastic surgery
yeah.
era.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really...
Passed over for American Pie
like
3
Like pre-Sharknado
era.
Before she crossed over into ironic cool. you know, and you started her sort of comeback.
I have really, the picture right here. Yeah,
it's really. Yeah.
So
let's go back to the Vantage.
Go back to the Vantage for a second, because I want to show. I want to show you a couple of different angles that make it look completely different. Right.
So that rear three quarter looks good.
The rolling front three quarter looks different too.
Where are all the pictures of this car?
They're all on Motor Trend. I know that.
New Aston Vantage.
Put 2019. I think we need to teach Tim efficient Googling.
Hey, man, you told me.
I know I did, but I...
Wait, click on
Tim,
that.
Tim's a camping truck guy. You know? He doesn't know how to use the computer.
All right, so wait. Do that one. All right, so look at this, right? Okay, that looks
here's
a
gray,
certain way.
We're talking about driver passenger side profile, 90 degrees.
Classic GT car, short overhangs, longish nose with a kind of a...
The standard, it's the rule, standard Aston rule of third shit.
Exactly.
It's exact rule of third shit. It always is.
Okay, now go back to the Google page.
And then
click on
three
that
quarter.
One. What the hell happened? Where did it go?
You know what? You're right. It really does look like
where did it go?
From the front three quarter, it looks like a different car. And it
now
really
looks like
is
a Noble.
All about someone on, I don't know, Reddit or something, photoshopped the DB11's mouth onto the new Vantage.
Right.
Much better.
Mm-hmm.
Much better.
Probably doesn't have the cooling.
Can you like Google, photoshopped nose or photoshopped mouth or something like that. See if you can poke around and find it. It does look way better.
Yeah, I mean it's really interesting to hear the designers talk about the concept, the methodology behind the design, because you just sit there and you go, wow, this guy's really serious. But like he's not kidding when he's like. I mean, yeah, I get it. Like, he's sort of taking us along on this psychedelic journey.
Oh,
of,
but you mean, did you ever stop back and think, is this pretty? Is that what you mean? Or do you mean, like,
that? Well, here's the thing, right? So he has a narrative that he followed, right? And that is that the car is the sports car of the line, right?
What if a bass fish and a transformer?
No, but, well, check this out. The car is the.
No, go ahead.
The car is the predator. Now of the Aston Martin line, right? Okay, Matt. That's not fine.
If I was there, I'm just picturing myself looking at you and rolling.
Right. Exactly.
Someone smoke this out loud.
The car's a predator. So as a predator, its nose is sort of to the ground and it's sniffing for the car in front of it. Right, which is
like sniffing
a Porsche,
its
probably.
Ass, like
well,
my
not,
cat does.
No, it's tracking it.
It's tracking it. It's not right at its ass yet. It's on the approach.
Fuck.
So there's a predatory.
So that's why the nose
design.
Drops.
That's why the nose
so
drops
much.
Somewhat. Yeah, exactly. There were a couple of other things like that he was, but generally, like every line you're looking at, a designer said this car needs to be a predator and have an analog in nature to the predatory nature of this car.
Okay,
so yeah, but that's where there are. I mean, that's the concept level, and then when it comes down to the execution, then you get.
If that's the concept, the execution does seem to follow that. It's just.
That's the thing.
Polarizing whether or not people like the concept, I guess.
Here's the other thing. They're going to sell every one of these. The car looks... I'm going to stop short at predicting it's going to be good.
Tim,
but the
I'm sure
Vantage,
dynamically it's going to be good. I honestly have
nose.
No doubt.
See if that
just
works.
Because it seems like most cars today are dynamically good. And if you're a brand like that is built on sports cars... Yeah,
and they're using a turbo
good.
Motor now too, right? It's a twin turbo motor
AMG
developed, right?
Pretty good. The old Vantage was awesome and really good looking, but it was much more subtle.
Now is a really good time to buy an old one.
Oh, V12S, man. A manual with a transformer.
A V12 or even a V8S with a stick, or even an early one for like from 40 grand.
Yeah,
that's a good time to pick one of those up.
See, I like the back. I like the back.
That's
three-quarter.
One of the best values in sports cars.
Yeah,
there's first gen Vantage.
They're so good. You know,
that's a good angle. Pull that up. Yeah. Is that a real car? Is that a CGI?
No, that's a real car.
That's a real car?
It's a probably a composite shot.
Yeah,
but I mean,
like,
it's like that's the real.
That's
car.
What it looks like. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a great angle.
That's the hero angle. That angle is good.
That's the crazy thing about this car is the hero angle is
looks
rear.
Best while you're chasing it around the track. So you look at it with envy.
As everybody knows, the best angle of a Jaguar is from back three quarter with its tail in the air while it's hunting. because the butthole
directly up its ass
is the face of the jaguar. Like, I mean, really, like if the predator thing, it's just weird that that would be the best looking angle. I don't know,
but the, I mean, you're right. The
so does
rear,
that make the license plate its asshole?
Exhaust pipe, really? Wouldn't it be?
Or the splitter? Or
dual assholes.
The rear.
I am never getting center, invited to an Aston event ever.
There's a center pressure outlet for the splitter that you could possibly argue that is the...
That angle, pull that back up, Tim. That angle is awesome.
Yeah. Right. That's it. And
that's
and
the rear three-quarter is the correct angle for that vehicle.
The other thing is, in person...
Mas bien.
It looks really good. And
from all angles, or do you... Cause
either you two see some Lexus RCF in that picture.
Oh, totally.
A lot of Lexus RCF, right?
Where the rear wheel crease meets the door, mm-hmm. It's very Lexus RC.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rear... I mean, the splitter is really complex.
Did you see the inside of one?
The inside is the... Okay, so that's the best part. I think the new interior is... not a clusterfuck. It's like, you know, all the things are where they should be. Ergonomically, it's a giant leap forward.
Oh, good. We weren't so kind to the DB11.
No, it's a totally different.
I went and watched that again. I was like, woof, we were brutal.
The car's not very good.
The car wasn't very good.
I think it's better than you guys do, but the interior is still... there's still parts of the interior.
It's more important for you to stay employed than us, I think.
Well, no. Are you saying that I'm compromised?
No. I think you're nicer.
Well, here's the thing.
More diplomatic.
Yeah.
There's a fairness doctrine that I employ. Yeah. No, there are parts of the DB11 interior that I can't stand, and the jewelry bits are, you know, the metal pieces around the steering wheel. Oh,
the pieces.
At.
Yeah, you want to pull that up, Tim? That's our RHD, but
yeah,
the bezels.
The bezels.
Mm-hmm. The bezels.
I really miss the gauges. I swear to God.
I discussed this last week, too, on our show. We miss the gauges a lot.
Totally miss the gauges. Yeah.
I know it's always uncouth to just say, I don't like this thing. But specifically, like, I thought there was a strange combination of materials in the center stack. Like, the HVAC area was like the thin GM plastic, kind of like Cadillac, where it's not really like a good deep black. And then you had gray, silver... you know, fake aluminum where like the CD changer was, but then leather above, like it just, there's like a lot of different stuff going on. And then that pressed carbon that I know a lot of people are using, which you can see just in the center there a little bit.
Oh, that stuff
looks like a bowling ball.
I'm not a fan of that.
I totally get it. If it's cheaper to make carbon that way, like I totally get it. If you're painting it and using it for body panels or whatever, like that makes all the
Lambo
sense.
Does
but, like,
that.
That is a horrific decorative material.
Yeah.
It looks. It doesn't look good, best case scenario, which is like the black-on-black one. It still looks terrible.
Yeah.
Right. But this is the new interior.
Oh.
It's way better.
Pull that
it's
up.
Way
Hebrew.
More. I mean, granted, it has the Mercedes console knob thing.
Yeah.
Which
That's
is
okay.
fine. It's usable. But the rest of it is so much better. Again, I miss the gauges. But such a better interior.
They have woven carbon fiber, it seems.
Yeah.
Someone has learned a lesson. Is that the only picture you can find, Tim? We have a better picture
knee
than that?
Guards.
Knee guard.
Oh, nice. Here we go.
Yeah,
look at that.
I mean, not my favorite choice of color scheme, but that's a way better interior.
Is that blue and red, or is that gray, is that black
that's,
and red?
Black and red.
Black and red. Oh. Yeah.
I really
is that
like
that bad? It looks kind of cool.
I like
cool
the symmetry
me.
Of the center console. Like the round, it almost looks like a separate gauge pod.
Yeah.
Or bezel.
I am a fan of this interior.
It's
that
way,
looks nice.
It's way good.
Yeah. I really wish Aston would put their seat controls on the door. They've committed to this center console thing, but my leg always hits it, and then when you brake, my fucking seat moves forward. It's really frustrating.
Well, you know, one of the great things...
looks pretty good.
Yeah. One of the greatest things about the Vantage, anyway, the older Vantage, is I always love the seating position is really nice and low.
Yeah.
This feels like it's even lower. It's almost like you're on the ground. I think
low
this is going to be good.
Is the best seating.
I think this is going to be good.
Yeah. I hate it when you're sitting up on top of the car.
Yeah.
That drives me nuts. This interior pictures look good.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those cars that you don't care how ugly it is once you're in it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, different color schemes, straight up black is going to be better.
That nose, boy. Woof.
The nose is tricky. I mean, those flush headlamps, you know, everybody's talking about being MX5. To me, it's sort of almost MX6. Remember the MX6?
MX6, yeah.
But, someone's got to get Dr. Schlotkin in here.
I wonder how much of that has to do with like the crash standards. Like,
yeah,
you know, the Miata has a big dip in the nose. Yeah, and so does that.
Some pedestrians roll gently onto your bonnet.
Yes. But,
yeah, they are deposited onto
and
the ground.
They splay out like a fainting couch.
Exactly. But the other thing is also frontal area has to be lower.
Got a nice frontal area.
It's got to be shorter.
Pick them out below the knees.
No, but this is for aerodynamics. You know what I'm saying? You got the frontal area's got to be a little bit. So you notice it on the Mustang, the new Mustang. You notice that there's this sort of very flaccid, sort of soft curve. If you look at it on the side,
it's lifting.
It's yeah.
lifting. Were you as a show today, or did you just fly in?
I just flew in.
Oh, the show's tomorrow.
Shows in 2 days. Oh, okay. I flew in real early to have some meetings.
Have you seen the new Mustang? Is there a noticeable difference, really?
Not up close yet.
I can't really... From the photographs, I mean, like, I can be like, yeah, something's a little different.
A little refresh.
I can't really tell yet.
I know. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. It's probably great. It's a good car.
Mm-hmm.
Mustangs are good now.
Yeah. The front end, they changed the lights a little bit, like, so it kind of
I drove a crazy Time Attack Mustang today that was fast as a balls. Had a nice big punched out 5.2-liter motor, full downforce, and... Independent reservoir shocks.
Wow.
The gentleman who owned it was in the cannabis business.
Oh, hello.
It's really nice. Ran Global Time Attack on the weekends and slanged legal concentrates.
Ben's time during the
concentrates.
Week. Drift Starion you drove long ago was on Hoonigan recently.
I know. They filmed it right after. He showed up while I was down there.
He's very loud.
Your car was on Hoonigan.
Oh my God, it was!
Oh my God, it was! I was like, that's cool. All right, so
it was a fun little gig. That was a fun.
Do you
want to
talk about that? Have you already talked about this?
Because I brought it up at one point, but sure, yeah. What's up?
No, because I saw it. Now you know, like it's funny. We live in a very small world, right?
Yes.
So I worked with Scotto.
Yes.
Scotto hired me to do 0-60, and then he left to go with Kenny Block.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have this amazing place,
the Donut Garage.
The Donut Garage. Mm-hmm.
And now they have a bunch of degenerates hanging out down there.
And it's like
being degenerates.
And there you are with your
car.
Well,
Scotto lives right around the corner from me, so I see Scotto a lot. And I see those guys at Grid Life. Like I love like Hurt and Chair Slayer Parsons and Forsberg and Turk. Like I know those guys pretty well.
Do you go to that Turtle Bar?
They go to Brennan's?
Brennan's.
Do they go to Brennan's?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been there.
The one in Venice?
The one time I hung out with Scotto in L.A., we went to Brennan's.
You went to Brennan's? I went to Brennan's a couple times. I think I might have gone with you, Timmy, once or twice when we first moved to L.A.
Yeah, we used to go after kickball games.
Yeah, and my one time ever doing stand-up, I did it there, and I did too well and psyched myself out of ever doing it again.
I did the opposite with sex. Started real bad.
But they got a whole fucking thing happening down in here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
And you see Ken bought a RS200. How boss is that?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, was that there when you were wasn't
it
there
wasn't
when you
there,
were
there when I was there. No, I think it got there like the next day. They've really figured some things out, haven't they?
They did.
But no, I mean filming that daily transmission show is fun. It's just
a quick hang.
Yeah, it was a quick hang. Yeah. They shot a little B-roll and did some burnout. I learned that the Sport Cup 2s are much better at doing burnouts than those original Continentals I had.
Oh yeah,
and the car does nice burnouts actually. Mm-hmm.
You didn't do a jump in there, did you?
No, I mean, dude, those guys are like they're real grimy in terms of like. They're like just totally comfortable, completely trashing shit and like smashing into walls. Like they don't really give a fuck. And so I know a lot of people do some really wild shit with their cars, but like when you're in there, that's a little ass area. And so I was like, I'm gonna regret anything I do. Plus, I filmed. There's literally an elementary school directly across the street from there.
Really?
Yeah. So they have a deal pretty much with the fire department and everybody. Because obviously, imagine these fucking guys show up. They have a little parking lot and a warehouse. Like, imagine how many times cops get called for these fucking guys when they first... So now they've got, an agreement where they can pretty much do anything they want after 3:30 p.m., you know,
once the kids
are all gone.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was there at, 2, you know, so it was sort of like, look, we can, you know, we'll do this one burnout, but, we don't want to
you know, push it with these, because the Starian was there too, and he was gonna do like blow his tires off kind of thing or whatever.
The car
was
really loud.
Yeah, so
you see BJ Baldwin when he was there?
Well, he like, jumped the truck off the fucking dock. Yeah. People yeah. do that. I mean,
he figurated
building, they
in
were
there.
Talking about building a rail and like rail sliding a car down there. I'm like, you guys, I'll come hang out for that, but I'm not trying to do this shit. They were all like, do the donut. I'm like, what? So you can get the fucking rev share?
Oh, you're right.
Come on, homie. Yeah. What do you think this is? This ain't amateur hour.
I mean, the people that do the crazy stuff with the cards are either they have a huge team sponsorship,
yeah.
or they're pro and they're not going to hit anything.
Yeah,
you know, or the, maybe they fix it themselves.
Yeah.
But most people are smart or just can afford to be crazy.
It was fun. Yeah. I like hanging out with those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're cool.
Yeah, I got very lucky too. That was the day before like Thanksgiving, and so it was like the worst driving day of the year. The year they show that aerial video of
the,
L.A.
The ribbon of red and white.
And Hannah was like, she was all like, I'm like, I'm going to Long Beach State of the State. She's like, do you remember what day it is? I was like, what, you know, what's going on? She's like, get off the road by 4:30. Just get off the road by 4:30. And so we finished at like 2:45, and I drove back to Venice at an insane rate of speed in the Mustang and got it put away. And then like an hour later, I saw that video of the 405. God. Yes!
What someone asked how you started Jalopnik, since we're a little bit of the history going backwards.
It's funny. I mean, I have to go back to a really boring story to get to that story, because it's really not that interesting. What happened was I was working at an Internet 1.0 company called Jupiter Research, or started as Jupiter Communications. So we were the guys that kind of predicted things that were going to happen on the Internet. You know, how many people are going to be buying stuff.
Boobs are going to be popular.
Boobs.
Boobs.
A lot of boobs.
Guys, make sure you get plenty of boobs.
Let's see.
I think we're going to see a surge in the popularity of boobs with the Internet.
Wait, hold on. Let me think about this for a second. Yeah, it's going to be about boobs and arguments. Boobs and arguments.
Boobs and arguments. And people seem to like cats. I don't know.
Well, a little bit of cats and mostly boobs and arguments. I got really tired of that. That company went out of business when Internet 1.0 crashed. I ended up at IBM for a minute doing market research on hardware, which is the worst fucking job there ever could be.
I didn't expect that.
You ever been a jizz mobber? Let's be honest.
I've never been a fluffer or a jizz mobber.
That's a very different jobs.
Well,
the opposite end of the same spectrum, really.
Right. You're doing hardware research, and the guy mopping is like, at least I'm not fluffing.
Hardware research. Oh, you're the best. All right, so where the fuck was I? I was doing Dilbert level market research stuff, and I came from that. I was nerdy enough about business and that shit for a while that I thought it was interesting until I wasn't, right? So ended up at IBM, needed something to do to get out of it because the company I worked for lost the IBM account, and my future was uncertain, and I found out that Nick Denton wanted to start a blog about cars. And if you remember, Gawker back then was one of the first pro blogging companies, where like blogging was a pro level thing you did for a job, barely. And so I found out he wanted to start this thing, and I said, hey, Nick, I know a little bit about cars.
Cold? Out of nowhere?
Well, I knew those guys a little bit from the internet world in the past, and I had started a blog called Lasagna Farm that was...
Why are we talking about market research? What are you doing?
So Lasagna Farm...
You could have done that story and saved so much time for Lasagna Farm.
I know. I got to do this real quick.
Need to know everything about the
Lasagna Farm. was just sort of like shit that we came up with that was sort of like The Onion, but it was sort of more... like
more of an Italian recipe twist.
No, it was me. I mean, me and a couple of guys I worked with sort of came up with dumb things that I don't even know where it is. I wish I could. I had more. I wish we could sort of pull up Lasagna Farm.
Where we turn up the heat.
Still exist? What happens?
No, it's
at lasagnafarm.com.
No, it's all gone. I don't know where it is now.
Should we buy you back could, the domain
we could,
for you?
We could
layers of humor, lightly baked. Lasagna Farm.
That's very good. That's very good.
But what we would do is come up, try to come up with stuff. Look at that. We would try to come up with
Google
features.
Image search lasagna farm. You get some really nice looking entrees. Frankly, it's just a nice array of
Morningstar Farms. They make they make a lasagna. And
I know that
sausage style crumble.
So gross.
Not sausage. It's sausage style.
Yeah, anyway, really. So it was a humor site.
So it was a humor site. We came up with some features that we were basically trying to get posted on Gawker. Just it was like we would bait
Gawker.
You were
Kinja before.
We were Kinja before there was Kinja, right?
And now at Drive, you're Kinja after there was Kinja.
Exactly. Just Kinja.
So you were the fluffer, and now you're the jizz whopper.
I've done it all. All the jobs. Anyway, so that's the ended up there. Sent Nick an email, told him I was from Lasagna Farm and I wanted a job writing about cars. And he said, to his credit, I guess, or to my stupidity, he just said, "Here, go write me 2 weeks worth of posts."
Oof.
Yeah, and so I went off and
wrote a lot of posts.
Yeah, because we wanted to have
a backfill
mm-hmm. of posts.
Oh, I thought that was an audition.
I thought it was too.
Fuck.
Well, I wrote a couple of things, and he just didn't give a shit. He didn't have anybody in New York to write about cars. He was uninterested in finding anyone either A, better, or B, more qualified, or whatever.
Was it a low budget experiment too? So it wasn't like he's going to go.
It was
have
a little
auditions.
Bit. What happened was Gawker wanted more male viewers, so they came up with readers.
I can't possibly. That's the craziest thing to me. To think that anyone would want to increase their male viewership on the internet. To me, my view of the internet is that 98% of everything is guys going,
boobs.
It's funny.
Boobs.
And arguments. Boobsandarguments.com.
Yeah.
I should have
which boobs are better, .com.
Right. But the crazy thing about that was they really did have a need for more male stuff. So they came up with Kotaku at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, the video game site, and a couple of other sites. And Deadspin was kind of getting going back then, too. So I sort of walked in and wrote all these posts, and they were like, okay, we need a name. And I went, well, fuck, you know, the name.
Naming shit is hard.
And even harder was that it had to represent a person doing a thing. Because that's what Gawker's thing was back then.
So that was a Gawker.
Right. A Gawker.
What is a Deadspin? Well, like a Deadbeat?
Deadspin is before that. Deadspin is a pitch.
Yeah,
that
like
doesn't,
it doesn't spin, yeah, it doesn't, right?
What's an IO9?
IO9 is, I don't remember what that reference is. That was after I left.
Their tagline is, we come from the future, right? So it's got to be some like spacey,
spacey thing. Or... But back then they had a gossip site in L.A. called Defamer. They had Kotaku, which is gamer in Japanese slang. And we needed a car version of that. And so we just kind of sat down with a bottle of champagne and did the... you know, poetry magnets thing, and just went, all right, well, what are words that are a suffix
make
and a prefix?
You make columns.
I mean, we wasn't even that that organized. We were just calling out things, and then someone said jalopy, and somebody else said beatnik, and someone said jalopnik. And I don't remember. I could have been me. It could have been Nick himself. I sort of like to think it was me, but I was so horrified by having to do a site called Jalopnik that...
If that wasn't already a thing, if you thought of that name and then wanted to name something that, right. I would be highly uncertain about what that name
would lead to. And I was highly, highly uncertain.
Like, that name could easily have been a complete piece of shit.
Totally.
Might have not worked at all.
Well, to Nick's credit, he registered it right there. And that was that. He was like, that's the name. You nailed it. That's the freaking name. And I was like, oh, no, we'll just keep. And I went home.
I feel like he had a massage every day at 3 p.m. scheduled. He was like,
it might have been.
Like, are you sure you want to hire me? He's like, I got a thing. And then is it the name? Sure.
That's right. I go home and I panicked. I had like almost a literal panic attack that evening. And I went, I can't write for a site called Jalopnik. How am I going to call anybody on the phone and say I'm from Jalopnik?
I was the fluffer at Jupiter Research.
For the first 3 months, are you calling from Gawker Media instead of from Jalopnik?
I did that a few times. Yeah. And they were like, who?
Yeah.
And then once they I said Jalopnik, and they went, oh, why didn't you just say that?
Oh,
then
really?
I knew that that was
finally
the thing.
Finally, someone had heard of you there.
Right,
you
exactly. Yeah. So that's what I knew when I... Could
fuck, starting shit from scratch is so hard.
Yeah, it's hard. It was a, it was quite a lift. I didn't leave my apartment for, you know, I mean, a year.
Right now, we're trying to come up with this watch podcast.
Oh.
And I can't think of a name for anything right now. And I made a list of like 20 possible names. And I went to hang out with Cameron to discuss stuff and whatever. And I looked at the names and I said the first one out loud and immediately crossed the next five off the list. Before, and I was like, I can't even speak those words out loud without, you know,
it's a good test,
sick.
Though.
Yeah. naming shit is so hard.
Naming shit is hard. And then naming something that weird and then going to, and actually working
it
and committing to it. Yeah. That was. I mean, and so, to my credit, I took such a big pay cut that I was like, well, boy, I got to make this thing work or else, you know, like, it's the end of the road for me.
That's what we're about to do here with the podcasting.
Yeah.
Buy one takes, buy cash cow.
Oh, so, yeah, wait
a minute.
Today
was the last shoot. By the way, we were going to, normally we'd take a break, but we're moving ads at the beginning of the show, and those listening to the show would probably figure that out. Like, I don't need a break. Do you guys want to continue? Should we continue?
Sure, keep going. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well. Hopefully our computer doesn't crash. It should be fine.
Should be
fine. Normally we take a break. Fuck it. No break today. Joe Rogan style.
Right.
Today was the last one take shoot, and it was the most appropriate last one take shoot for a few reasons. One, it rained the whole way up there, which is fine. It reminded me that winter is coming. Winter is coming, and last winter I had 6 shoot cancellations for rain. It was a nightmare, and just reminded me of what is to come in the winter. So that I scheduled 6 cars. I had some serious shooting the last couple of weeks, like finish strong, all that kind of shit. Scheduled 6 cars. 3 canceled last night, and 1 was a no-show this morning. So after getting up at 5, it was down to 2 cars that I shot.
Oh, you're kidding.
After driving all the way up there. So the cost profit thing is fucking completely thrown out of the way.
Yeah.
So, however, that's the bad news. On the good end of the spectrum was it was a Time Attack Mustang that was really nicely set up and fun to drive and fast. There wasn't a soul on the road, and then it was a stick Lambo.
Oh, right.
The stick V12 Merce, you know, which is a car that will be remembered much better than when it existed in period.
What are those going
lovely.
For? No.
They're back up.
Are they back
they
up?
They bottomed out like 3-4 years ago at like 120 to 140.
Oh, that's what
and
you
now
saying,
they're 180 to 225.
Wow.
The sticks.
Yeah.
Not the least of, I mean, on top of being obviously better to drive than the early paddle shift cars, there's a serious financial advantage to a stick, which is that the clutches, if you like know how to drive, a stick Merce will do 40K on a clutch. 50K on a clutch, whereas it's 10K like clockwork in the E-Gear cars.
Ooh.
They
oh
launch
God.
Clutches, and oh, by the way, that shit's engine out.
Oh.
Ooh.
Some engine out shit.
That is real.
And in a Merce, the engine don't come out the bottom. It comes out the top.
Oh.
So you can imagine what a fucking
nightmare. What does Ferretti say that costs?
Oh, a clutch job on a Merce is like 12 to 14K.
That's actually not bad because that's what a transmission job costs on a Jag XJR if
does
the
it,
Mercedes
Did you blow the fucking gearbox?
No, but if I did, I was starting to throw codes. So, I don't know.
Well,
this is a little bit of a
A transmission for my stupid Lexus was $4,000.
Let me tell you how unimportant codes are.
A clutch should not be $15,000.
Right.
Not when the car's lunching them every 10K.
But that's true. It's
you
just
can make tires last longer than a clutch. That shit's crazy.
It's the clutch and labor.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was starting to throw some codes. I was throwing a turbine speed sensor code.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. So I asked GJ?
Oh, yeah. GJ Dixon?
GJ Dixon, yeah.
Yeah, GJ.
GJ.
Yeah. At Classic Car Club.
At Classic Car Club. And, you know, he's a genius, and he's a Mercedes tech. So he said, oh, don't worry about it. It's just usually it's like the sensor's on the bottom, and it gets a little corroded or whatever. And it would only happen after I washed it. So I was like, okay.
Oh, so when it was wet or damp or something?
Yeah, and then it just stopped happening.
Oh. It's like Zach's problems. They fix themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they
don't.
His car's problems sometimes, and also his own.
Yep. Yeah, just go away. If you ignore it, you know, why do my balls hurt? Well, don't worry about it now.
Why is one this much bigger than that one?
Why do I need more pants for one of them?
Other than your self-solving check engine codes, is that thing all right?
It's been great.
You've been driving it?
Yeah, I've been driving it. I mean, I need tires now, and they're P0. I don't even think... I think
you don't need fucking P0s. No, I know. You need whoever is willing to give you tires, sir.
That's right. Am I going to work
the angle?
Can't
you do a story on some tires?
Yes. I think... Wait, don't we know somebody at Michelin? Or
yes,
BFG?
Lots of people at Michelin, yeah.
Okay, so maybe we'll
I'm finally on the Michelin take. I'm not even... I don't even lie about it.
All right.
I can't lie about it, but Michelin sends me tires now.
I mean, I have those stupid 19-inch... I mean, stupid. Like the BBS Montreals, which
Dude,
are...
Dude, you need your set of PS4Ss on that car, and that thing will be gold. You should... Full disclosure, they were free, but the PS4S we put on the SL500 versus whatever the old shitty tires were on there completely helped the ride.
What were on there before? Continentals?
They were like date coded fucking 09. Whatever they were, they immediately came off. I don't remember. They were just whatever.
Your wheels are 19s though?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know.
That's big for an 02. Is that an 02?
It's an 02.
Yeah, it's big for an 02.
Well, that's the 100 package, right? So the that's where the 100 comes from. 19-inch instead of 18. It's the
big
regular
for New York too.
It's big for New York. It's big for pothole New York. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And them some expensive ass rims.
They're two piece.
Can you put 18s on it if you want, or would you even want to? Or?
Well, no. I'm thinking. I mean, I've been keeping it inside for the winter. So, okay. But I should get winter wheels if I want to do that. Yeah.
Jag drift in the snow.
Probably very fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Some power steering thing would break.
The car is so good. It really is so good. It's so weird. It's set up so weird. It rolls, but then it's. Its roll moment is fucked. I don't know if it's just that they couldn't get it any better than that back then. But I mean, but the rest of it is so good.
That's like, you know what? It's like driving like a 993 Porsche where it's like, wow, this is the 30-year-old car modernized as best as we could fucking do it. But sooner or later, this is going to have to change completely.
At some point.
Yeah.
I mean, they built an entirely new platform. They were in the process of building the 04, which was entirely new. Aluminum.
That's
platform.
That all aluminum shit.
All aluminum.
It's a very nice looking car.
Yeah.
Oh, your car looks
size.
So
it's just,
nice.
I was going to give it. So, Jamie Kipman has this, you know, Jamie Kipman, writer for Automobile, also manager of OK
gangster.
Go. Yeah, yeah. He's awesome. So he's got a business now.
Wait, manager of OK Go?
Yeah.
The band?
The band. Oh, he's got an entire music
OK
management
Go's
business.
OK Go's manager?
Fuck yeah, dude.
When I find out about these car writers and their other jobs.
He's a lawyer and he does that.
That is a very outside the box other job for an auto writer.
Yeah.
Jamie's got a whole music business career outside of his automotive writing.
How about that?
Yeah.
Go Jamie Kipman.
Yeah, but he is, oh, there you go.
Is that your Jaguar?
That's my Jag.
Those are good looking wheels though.
Yeah.
Those are very nice.
But he's got a business where he wrangles cars for movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I was trying to get him to, and finally he was, well, he had this thing that he needed, and I was going to give him the car, and they were going to kind of take it on a casting call. But what I found out was I needed
to make it suck somebody's dick.
Well, maybe.
That car is going to be in a mob movie where someone gets a blowjob.
Well, remember that guy who fucked his car on TV? What if that guy was the Harvey Weinstein of. Fucking
Honey.
All these movie cars.
Hey, oh, that guy must love Jack. Turo. Ooh. That is, yeah, if you want to have sex with cars.
Come on, just come inside for a minute. Just come in, just one minute, come inside, I don't care. No, you can leave anytime you want.
Did you go and cast
the car anyway, activates its own OnStar.
Well, it was supposed to go this Tuesday, but what happened was my stupid rear tire tread wear was too low, so it didn't pass inspection.
Oh no!
So now I gotta get that done. So that's why I need the tires before, you know. So now
Spinelli.
I know.
I'm headed towards Slickstown.
Are you?
I'm nearing Slickstown.
How?
It's, being,
wow.
It's becoming the winter, Zach. Don't be that guy.
I'm not. I'm waiting for a friend of ours who has some people at Falcon.
There's a hookup.
Yeah, there's a little hookup.
Every show, like clockwork, my cell phone rings.
Yeah.
Hi, sorry, Dad. Call you back. Yeah, tires are good. Get yourself some tires.
Gotta get some tires.
Yeah, I just drove up a wet, big Tahunga Canyon this morning on Sport Cup 2s. It was nice. Actually, I did a couple, like, you know, full brake tests to see where it was. I'm always shocked, you know, with the exception of, like, standing water and select tracks, how much traction is generally available on a wet surface.
Dude, when you in the car too, we rode with Harris around the Nürburgring after it rained, and it was still damp. And I was like, "Isn't this going to be an issue for traction?" He's like, "Not really." I mean, he was going 96% as fast as dry. It felt like, because he's like, once it's shiny looking, it's like the tires, the heat in the tires will take care of it. He said,
Knowing that track and there are spots that there is always traction because of the way that the trees are and the sun gets to it, and it's like, you know, he's a savant.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the magnetism of
the
tree.
Well, even when we were at VIR doing the Camaro ZL1 thing and fucking Lee, when I'm out there with Lee, and he was pretty comfortable. By the end, he revealed that he was slightly uncomfortable, but I was very uncomfortable, and he was going what to me felt like race pace, you know, an extremely fast car, and it was moving around a lot.
Yeah.
But he was still in full control.
I know, and he did the same thing with the Alpha. I mean, I was real. I mean, if you've seen the show,
Where you vomited,
where I vomited.
That's a funny moment. That's a real. That's a real moment. Real moment there.
Fat Fonzie pukes on the side of the road.
Did you? I haven't really. I don't think I've seen you since the show was like completely done and aired.
I don't think so. You're right.
I thought it came out really good.
Yeah, it came out good. No. That show. You mean that show specifically, or the whole
Drive
thing?
On NBC Sports? No, not just the part segment where you vomited. Right, Bob,
I was like, yeah, that was edited really well.
Yeah, they cut away at the right time. They cut away at the right time.
And then Lee looks at me outside. We missed that part on the show. He goes. I gotta go. The brakes are on fire.
They cut that. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, it didn't fit. It was like,
oh, that's funny, though.
It's like, he goes, are you okay? Because I got to go. Like,
that's funny.
You had to jump back in sick, or did he leave you there?
No, he left me. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Aside the track, but it was funny. But it was it was the swaying. And that's the control
it's when it really gets loose under braking.
And so it's like you're going, the G's are you're being pushed forward and to the side.
Yeah.
And your vision, you're seeing like parallax view, and then like it just messes with you. Anyway.
No, I could definitely see how a few laps of that could definitely make
I think the show came out good this year. Except for the fact that
it came out good too.
Except for the fact that we didn't get to do enough shit together, which we did last year.
We didn't have. Did we have any segments that were just you and I? I don't even know
Italy.
If we did.
Italy, but they cut it. That was the one where we...
our stupid library bit? The 18-take library bit?
The stupid library bit. No, but we also had an espresso bit in front of that cafe. That was the bit.
It just became B-roll. Yeah, the espresso in the cafe.
Yeah.
That was a good... filming in Italy is so fucking hard because you cannot get out of lunch in less than 2 hours.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah.
That was about a 2-hour lunch.
Well, in Europe, they don't have, we have this middle ground in America that they don't really have in Europe. In Europe, they legit will, because their gas stations are, more gourmet than ours. So they'll get a sandwich at a gas station, no problem. And they'll sit at that gas station for, 20 minutes and eat their sandwich and have an espresso. But there's that, or there's a legit sit-down lunch that's 2 hours. There's nothing in between that.
They don't have the deli. They don't have the thing where you go and you get a sandwich, and then you either eat in your car or sit outside.
Well, they have, the grocery store where you can get a sandwich made. It's not a deli. So. You can go and ask, I want, prosciutto with that cheese and this thing, and they put it on bread for you.
Right, but when you're filming in Europe, you eat at a lot of gas stations.
Yeah.
And so at least once a day, you're like, no, I'm not eating at a gas station this time. Because the other two times, you are eating at a gas station, and so you're just like, I want to sit down, but then it turns into fucking 2 hours.
Remember, we got the check at that place, which was outside the Alpha test track, and we had already had a legit four-course lunch. We said, no dessert, we want the check, and the guy was like...
insulted.
Are you okay? What is wrong?
You know, you want some brioche? You want whatever this one?
And you can't talk to anybody about anything before having an espresso.
Oh, no.
You can't do any work without having another espresso.
No, and then we brought them outside.
So hard to film there.
Well, we had to film. And JF was getting so nervous. He was getting we got to get this thing going because we're going to miss our time at the track. And then we were like, could you bring the espressos out there or can we take them? And they were like, no, you can't take them. They have to put them on the tray and then bring them out to you outside on the cafe.
Yeah, because we got to the test track and we're like, oh, sorry, we're a little bit late. Da, da, da. And they went, oh, that's fine. We've set up coffee and snacks inside.
That's right.
Please come in. We're like, okay, we're all addicted to caffeine now.
30 minutes to do this. It's very hard to work.
Yeah, it's hard to work there in that country. I mean, and then when did we go out for that big Milanese dinner? Oh, you had just flown in.
Yeah.
So you were not feeling like a giant. Like,
you were just so happy to order things that don't exist in America.
Bring things.
You were just
things.
Saying words. And what we showed up like tripe cold beef salad?
We had a salad.
Dude, I just got off a 14-hour fucking LOT Airlines, the official airline of Poland, with a layover in Warsaw. And we went straight, and I was served like a tripe salad. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding
it
me.
Was,
with this.
It was, what is it? Cartilage? It was cartilage. Tendon. It was, cold tendon.
It's
cartilage
a tendon.
Salad.
I was like, it looks like coleslaw. That's it's not a vegetable. It's a tendon.
It's the meat salad.
It's the part of the animal that holds the delicious parts together.
But that's Milan, right? They can do anything with any part of the animal. They're like the Eskimos of Italy. But
we
no,
had two, that our last meal in Milan was amazing at that restaurant next to the cathedral.
Yeah, that was really
that
good.
Place. What I think you had left.
I left by that.
That
yeah.
restaurant was banging, mm-hmm. and that just, place in that little town at the base of the Alps in Bormio.
Bormio. You guys did the.
You guys got there before some of us.
Yeah,
and you and
me and Reed drove four right. hours in the fucking Fiat.
Yeah, 1-2-4 together.
Two of the biggest guys.
I'm 6'2". Reed is 6'4",
yeah,
I think.
He's pretty tall.
And we did four and a half hours. It was from Milan to Bormio in a fucking Fiat 1-2-4. And
it looked like
it
a
was,
Greek bear and a Swede
brutal.
On a date.
It looked like.
And we did. It was 4 hours. Do you remember that day we had? Do you remember what this day was? This
oh,
day
yeah.
entailed. This was what a shoot day is like. And I'm. And again, this is like the fact that we get to do this for work is crazy. But some of these shoot days are gnarly. So we woke up and went to the library, the Alfa
yeah.
Romeo. Like no, the Pirelli. It was
the
Pirelli
Museum.
Museum.
Yeah, yeah.
3 hours or so in Milan.
Easily.
The Pirelli Museum.
Yeah.
Then we drive to the Alfa Romeo test track,
right.
which is. West of Milan, I believe,
right.
by about an hour.
So that's about yeah, about an
so
hour.
So we drive
hour
there.
Yeah.
Several espressos. Eat. Some, well, we shot
no.
the thing. No, we ate lunch at that
we,
place.
We had
it took
the,
forever.
Yeah, long lunch.
Long lunch took forever. So get out of lunch at like 3. We have the Alfa Romeo test track from 4 to 5, I think,
yeah.
for 1 hour for me to do a 4C review. So we get to the test track, eat, drink 6 espressos, do the 4C review. Then me and Reed, so that's, now it's 5 o'clock. We started at 8 a.m. Now me and Reed get in a Fiata and drive 4.5 hours.
And we stayed and shot 4C B-roll.
Shot more B-roll.
And then we left like an hour and a half behind you.
Yeah, like we got our day, I was in the car driving from like 8 a.m. to fucking 9 or 10 p.m. I drove every leg of that day. It was so gnarly.
It was funny because I drove, you know, it was nighttime and I was driving and looking at the GPS and it's like, you are now on next to Lake Como, under the tunnel of Lake Como. And I was like, well, I guess I've been here, but I don't know what it looks like. You know? Everyone's like, oh, well, how was it? They have lights there too.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing because...
I went to Lake Como a couple times before I ever actually saw the lake. I swear, Adventure Drives this past
really?
September was the first time I ever got within golf ball distance of the actual lake.
During the daytime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We stopped at a restaurant there. But I've driven past it like fucking 4 times for work. I've never stopped. Everyone's like, it's beautiful. I'm like, is it? The highway goes like this. And then I
did you see George Clooney? George Clooney lives there.
Yeah.
No, what's interesting is that this year... and sort of last season also, we shot a lot of things out of order. Three seasons ago, season two, what was the season when we drove everywhere and every shoot was a 1,000-mile drive
God.
Somewhere? And that was, like, Germany, when we were in the car. Like, I think we
Oh, that trip where we drove from England to fucking Monaco?
Yeah.
That was really far.
But
was that... Where else?
That was season one.
Yeah, season one. But inside... Season two, inside Germany, when we... Me, you, and Chris... Well, we did... Bilsterberg to... We ended up at Spa.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of miles.
That was the M special. That was season three.
Yeah, it was a lot of miles.
That was a lot.
No, that's the...
No, no, it was Germany... I had the C63,
yes.
And you had the Porsche, and Harris had the M5,
and we did the spot.
That was a million miles, too. Yeah, there's been a lot of national parks this year.
Oh, shit.
I mean, national parks, like, we went from... Did I fly to Vegas? Where did we start?
Vegas. Oh, no.
No.
We started in Vegas.
Me and you drove from here.
We drove from L.A. Mm-hmm. I started in L.A. with Zach.
L.A. Pahrump, Zion, back to Pahrump,
so LA, yeah.
To Yosemite.
So through Death Valley. Like,
but we drove through Death Valley to the 395, slept, and then backtracked to go to the Jedi Transition, and then went back on the same road, and then went to Yosemite.
Oh, yeah. The Jedi Transition.
I think we did...
Fighter jets.
Did we do 1,800 miles? In 4 days on that one, I think.
Me and you
like
probably
that.
Did.
I think we did.
And we both drove home.
Because I drove, and then I drove home from Yosemite alone. You live in a car by yourself.
Yeah.
it's so crazy. The miles. That you think about the number of miles.
It's
full
amazing.
Full lap of California.
Yeah. And that was the one, I think that was, we drove the most for that episode, other than Iceland. I mean, Iceland was...
No, we drove
amount.
More for national
more
parks.
More for national parks.
Yeah, Iceland, I didn't, well, I don't know about you guys, but I did, it was only like 500 kilometers the whole time.
You
it wasn't
did more
that
distance,
much.
We did more time.
Yeah. Iceland was awesome.
Iceland was
so
awesome.
So glad I got to go to Iceland on someone else's money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so expensive.
It's really funny because... You know, I've been hearing. So Chris and I were in, you know, like jammed up against each other for 3 days, right? And Chris, it's some of the best moments are Chris's getting on me.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Of course. Because he's a fucking world class ball buster.
Yep. Those are the two plots of the show. The one plot of the show is me having fun, and the other plot is Chris getting mad at you. That's the entire bit,
right? And it's fun. It's so funny to me, but I'm starting to see like more comments, like how do you let him talk to you that way? And I'm like, because it's think hilarious. It's funny. It's hilarious.
It is funny, and he plays it up on camera.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
off camera.
Yeah. Exactly.
And when the cameras are off. And when he lands.
It's all the time.
And when there's no cameras in the same country as us. You know, it's fun. It's super fun.
But I, you know, and it's sort of like, I'm thinking like, as, you know, from a TV producer's perspective, maybe it's too much because maybe character-wise it's, but I just think the more the better.
I think it's fine. I mean, if you are actually uncomfortable with it, that's one thing, but if you think it's funny, then whatever. Make that the character. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, that's,
shape
that
the
was
character
the thing.
However you want. I mean,
well, I mean, we did 10 hours a day, and that day,
at least, yeah.
That day we were on single track all day was really like, I think both of us were going to be sick if we didn't stop at that huge hole in the ground, whatever the hell that was. We would have been sick.
Hours and hours and hours of off-roading is brutal.
It's brutal.
It's very tough.
Well, I couldn't really empathize with how wiggly it was in the Raptor because I was in the other truck that had such soft tires.
Yeah.
So I thought we were just going slowly, undulating, you know, very steady. And then you look at the in-car from you guys, and it seriously is like someone's just on the side of each side of the truck just pushing it back and forth because the suspension is
stiff. Well,
the Roxbury guys thing
made me laugh because we cut that we tried to
what
find
what the fuck
a,
is that you oh know, you mean the night at the rock oh,
yeah. night at the Roxbury.
What is love?
Well, we wanted to use that song so bad, but yeah, it was like there's $30,000.
Yeah,
we had to find something that sounded not like it but sort of was similar.
You know, you have to be that extra. No, mine goes
Vanilla Ice. That was that's a good, that's a deep reference cut.
So the Raptor makes you think about, like not all off-roading is equal, you know? Like, there's, like, rock crawling off-roading, there's pre-running off-roading, there's rally driving off-roading, there's sand rails. Like, these are, like, pretty highly specialized things. And, like, there will be some crossover. Like, you probably could get down that trail in Iceland in a sand rail. But, like, that's not necessarily the tool for the job.
Totally.
So. Those sidewalls were just too stiff for doing that all the time.
Yeah.
You just die.
Those sidewalls are designed to take a rock at 60, not necessarily to make the ride as smooth for you as possible.
As
at
is
lower
the suspension,
speeds.
You know. Yeah. And I would never have thought of that if I hadn't experienced it. Because I was because when you had the Raptor, I'm like, well, this is soft. Let's say, quote, soft. Mm-hmm. But then when you get in those two trucks over these little vibrations that are constantly happening, you really notice the difference.
No, the Raptor takes big impacts really well. The small ones you feel. And in fact, if you were driving, I don't know how much you guys had in the bed But like my Raptor, if you drove my Raptor like empty, just one person, like it rode stiff as shit. But if you had like three or four people in it or a bunch of shit in the bed, like it actually, once it got past that initial starting to use the shock, it rode better. So
I don't think we had two cases in the back, but that was probably a total of 120 pounds.
Yeah, you gotta have a little more. You gotta have like 400 or 500 pounds going on in the truck.
We found out we had a smashed bottle of bourbon in one of the Pelican cases.
Yeah, it just vibrated itself to pieces because it was wrapped in clothing in the foam, and it just like shook and compressed over 300 miles.
There was nothing hard. There was nothing it could have smashed itself on.
Just
it was
the vibrations.
Just the vibrations
I bet
broke
just
it apart.
The micro cracks for 2 days of seriously 20 hours of driving total at least.
Yeah.
And it just...
Mental note, drink your bourbon first, then go off-roading. You know,
passenger can drink it.
Because it might break. You never know.
And we want, of course, the night we found that, we were like, oh, we have bourbon. Excellent. And I don't.
Yeah. No, you've got tequila, buddy.
That's right. The tequila survived.
We were like, we were in this one of these, you know, the huts that you stay in when you're out in the middle of nothing in Iceland. And we're like, okay, we've got a bottle of Patron. Now what do we do?
All of us.
Of course we.
None of us. No one took it. After 12 hours, I think everyone went. Did you? Oh, you did.
I did.
I remember even Harris, like he was like. No.
I did a little. Yeah, I had a little, but it was just because you know
me and Morningstar had sampled an assortment of Icelandic pubs across the country. It was great.
Nice place.
We was great. We stayed in some totally weird hotels. We stayed at the Pirate Hotel.
Oh yeah! Wait,
we stayed at a pirate themed hotel. That was the weirdest place I have ever stayed.
So pirates or Vikings pirates?
Viking pirates. I'm sorry, it was not pirate themed. It was Viking. Tim, pull up a picture of the Viking Hotel in Iceland. I think it's just called Viking Hotel. Honestly,
was it weirder than the Madonna Inn?
Yep, there it is. That's it. Top left. And it's got a big Viking beer hall. It's no, the Madonna Inn. You know the Madonna Inn in California?
I've heard of it. I've never
been
there.
Halfway from here to up north.
Okay.
Maybe not even halfway, but it's like walking into some Alice in Wonderland weirdo shit.
It is.
Oh, I know. The guy that built it, him and his wife lived there or something. Yeah.
It's like there's the Viking, the drinking hall inside.
If you took Quaaludes and someone locked you in a bare room with Play-Doh and like watercolor and they're like, go nuts, like that's the Madonna Inn.
Right. I know what you mean.
That's the inside of the Viking. That's one of the part of the beer hall. So me and Tom drank beer with the Viking girls.
Did you eat like a lamb's head in there? Like I could imagine it's like medieval times.
No,
we ate
something normal. I think it was like a grilled chicken with vegetables. Here's what I remember about the Viking Hotel's food. It was executed very well. I ate like a grilled chicken with vegetables on the side, and then we got some kind of soup thing. And each Tom and I had two beers each. Okay, and we had roughly the same meal. Entree. Soup, two beers each. It was like $280. That's what I remember about it. I remember sitting in that Viking beer hall going, what the fuck is going on in this country? And thank God this isn't my dime we're on.
The cheapest restaurant of that whole trip was in the airport, which does not happen outside of Iceland. Yeah. No joke.
Well, we ate at the hotel, right? The first night. The food was actually, was I mean, for good. Hotel food, was that was amazing.
Good. Yeah, it was really good.
But, I mean, I think the three of us, I think it was, like 400.
Me,
bucks.
Spinelli, and JF, it was 400 plus.
Wow.
Yeah, it was in a Sheraton. Was it a Sheraton or something?
It was a Sheraton. Yeah,
that was a nice hotel.
Or something. I don't know.
That's really how much the bill was on the way to Anglesey last year, and that was six people.
Yeah.
And we had like everyone had like a three course dinner and everything.
Well, I mean, we had like a bottle of wine. I mean, we had a bottle of wine and we had like salads.
I'm not shy
when
they're buying. I don't give a fuck.
I know. What are you
gonna
do?
That Viking Hotel, though. So, what's funny about the Viking Hotel is. There were three different hotels I stayed in Iceland. I don't understand this. This is the craziest thing. So the bathroom of the hotel, or of my room, the shower was like one of those like plastic showers like you'd buy at Home Depot. Look at that picture. That's like the lobby. Pull that up, Tim. The Viking Hotel. Just keep finding weird Viking Hotel pictures because there's shit all over
this
place.
Like they caught that guy and his friend just walked up. Hey, Steve! What are you doing here?
It's just the weirdest decoration.
What a strange expression.
So the shower was this elevated plastic shower that's like been installed in the bathroom.
Why are
right?
they working for the seagull? I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
The boss.
The seagull's the boss.
The tray you stand on in the shower where the drain is, like the floor of the shower,
there's no like lip to catch water.
Oh.
And it's a rain shower, and there's a round curtain over your head. And the curtain hangs like this high above the lip, and it literally is like dripping water onto a pyramid. So half of it goes in, half. So, but I take a shower for like, and I'm conscious of what's happening. It's so absurd. But after like, maybe not even like 3 minutes, there's an inch of standing water on the floor of my fucking bathroom. And I'm like panicking. It's like going out into my room, and I'm like throwing all the towels down and like throwing a pillow down. Look, there's the picture of the bathroom. Look, is that the shower?
Oh my gosh.
The shower tray is elevated, and there's just a curtain that goes around, and the water just drips. Dude, all over
that is a changing room. That is not a shower.
But no, but that happens in Germany a lot. All right.
So fucking
Alex
crazy.
Roy. Here's an Alex Roy story.
Oh, yeah. No.
Alex Roy is in, I want to say, I think it might have been Sweden or somewhere between Sweden and Portugal.
Mingle, right?
Between I can't Sweden say, and Portugal.
I can't say what it was. It was between Sweden and Portugal, and I can't say which country because I don't actually remember, but I wasn't there. He goes there. He's doing some on camera bits, and he goes to this you know the same setup bathroom of the hotel he was in, but he's not taking a shower. He's just trying to get the wrinkles out of his suit. So he hangs his suit,
steams it up, right?
Steams it up, right? Yeah. Puts on the shower. It's the same thing: a little lip or no lip, and there's just a drain at the bottom of the whatever the hell it is. He goes out, and I don't know if he's on the phone, he's talking to somebody. He comes back, and...
Oh, he fell asleep.
Or he fell asleep.
I remember this.
Oh, God, he fell asleep. He comes back, and there's not just an inch of water.
Really?
There are like 3 inches of water,
no.
And the water's pouring down into the room below it.
Oh, no.
And he's panicking... And like freaking out, and like the hotel guy. It's like a small hotel. It's not like a big chain. He's like, you guys have to pay for this. And now they don't have any money. And he just goes, I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, I said, offer him $500 because that's all he had. And I think he gave him $500. And then the guy wanted more. And so I go, Alex, just get everybody out of the hotel and get the hell out of there. And he just rounded everybody up and they left.
Like real early in the morning.
Yeah,
like
real Navy super SEAL style. Navy SEAL style out of there.
That's bad.
But I mean, the guy obviously.
But what kind
was,
of shower is this? What kind of establishment is this?
Anyway, $500.
Where a shower left on its own will destroy a fucking. You know what I mean? It's like if the drain is clogged and malfunctioning, that's one thing. But if you turn a shower on and walk away for 15 minutes, and your room turns into the River fucking Nile.
I thought you were going to say the River Phoenix. I don't
know. River Phoenix?
I don't know why. I was like, that's not a river.
Did Alex have a scarf that fell on the drain and plugged it?
It must have been something like that.
Because our apartment in Iceland that we shared with like 8 crew members had the same no lip suggestion of a drain, and I don't know what the plan is there. It's very weird.
It is weird. Germany
does
that.
What do they do?
I don't know. It's just I don't know what is the point of not having like having a tiny lip or no lip. Italy has these things where they just put the drain in the middle of the floor of the room.
I kind of like that. That's a little luxurious because the whole floor of the room is like water is like and it's like an angled in.
I mean, if it's done
nice,
if it's done well, yeah. But half the time and it's not done well because it's Italy and they couldn't give two shits.
Well, fuck.
Not that I no, of course. I mean,
that's why it's such a miracle. No, that's why it's a miracle that Ferraris work now. That's why. I mean, because I've interacted with all kinds of Italian-made things, and most of them are terrible.
Right. Yeah. And the further south you go, right, the less likely things are going to work.
The less they give a fuck.
Right. The less they give a fuck. The better the food is, the worse they give a fuck.
Right.
Advice for buyers of Italian cars, check build dates. Don't ever buy a September built.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. August, they take it off, but they're still a little rusty in September. You don't want to buy a Ferrari 355, the September build date, my friend.
I never thought of that, but you're right.
Oh, yeah. Ask Rob Ferretti about that one.
Oh, man. They are toasted when they come back. They're tenderized. They're like Kobe
beef. Cars built in September have all kinds of problems. That goes for anything in Italy. It's not. I use Ferrari as an example, but that goes for
I love the country. I mean, it's my people. By the way, Bourdain just went to where I was, or not me, but my people are from.
Where are your people
where
from?
Where Asia Argento and Bourdain went down to southern Italy to the heel of the boot, to Apulia.
That's where
the Spinellis are from. And you know what? It's creepy as fuck. So
why is it creepy as fuck?
They have this dance that's basically about the tarantula. Everything is about getting bitten by a tarantula.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And,
this explains a lot.
And there's this sort of strange orgasmic dance.
I have so many questions.
Don't explain anything.
Well, when you get bitten by a tarantula, right, you are possessed now by the spirit of the tarantula or something like that. And then you have to do this dance with this guy with a accordion. And if you're a woman, it means that you have this kind of passione that has seeped into you from the tarantula bit.
Trying to say that she's a hoe?
She's a hoe. She become a hoe. And now she's got to do this weird dance thing to get the hoey stuff out. Right,
to
exactly.
Get the hoe out?
Get the hoe out. So this is... So I mean, if you want to see the entire episode, watch CNN.
It's on Parts Unknown?
It's on Parts Unknown. Okay. The one that was on recently. But.
Okay, I got to check
it anyway,
out.
Anyway, that's...
Just, that kind of like mysticism from
it's
Italy,
crazy.
You know?
I know. It's but that's only... That's that back part. It's the gypsies that came over the Adriatic.
And this is not... This is like... Are they Christians as well?
Well,
is this separate from Christianity, or is this
no? They're super Catholic, but they were pagans way long ago.
We're just gonna hang on to this.
So they've got
someone
a lot
lost
of
a book,
so
and they went, "What? Tell us about Catholicism." As the Pope said, when the tarantula bite you, you dance to get rid of it. Go to bed.
You go to bed, down child.
Yeah.
So weird.
It's a crazy place, and it's like that's where Nardo Test Track is. So
really?
That's where the
have
car
you have
thing.
You ever been?
No.
Would
no, you, I'd like
what,
to go
do you
there.
Have, did that make you have interest in going, though, or not really?
You know, I always wanted to go until I saw that, and now I'm not.
Well, the
tarantula
thing's not like every Wednesday, right? That's like a tarantula
no, it's
festival.
Almost, it's like every Wednesday. I mean, it
oh,
looks,
really?
They make
it
look
time
like, well, him and when they, yeah, I mean, they went to this thing that looked like they was
listen,
something they did a lot.
Listen. You ever worked in TV?
Yes, I understand.
Think someone might have considered.
It's possible, yeah, it's very possible.
Are there tarantulas walking around? Is that part
yes.
of the festival?
Yes, there are tarantulas.
Was there like a migration? Like, remember when we went filming the Angeles Forest? We go film in the Angeles Forest, and there's a tarantula migration?
August.
Migration?
They're walking across the road and shit.
They're going to
Morningstar's favorite day to film.
Never coming here.
I missed that shoot.
Ever again.
So happy I missed it.
It's, wow. Yeah, Morningstar was so excited to get... I think it was BMW 1M.
It was.
Yeah, BMW 1M. And he was picking up tarantulas and then getting shots of them, like, walking across the hood of the car and stuff. He was, super into
that. Nope.
Great
nope.
big nope.
Nope,
great
nope,
big
nope, nope.
Yeah, it's like
really
the March of the Tarantulas every August. And they go find mates. And they were just walking across the road and over the mountains.
Other tarantulas, or will they mate with anything?
Well, they'll mate with Italian broads, apparently.
Apparently so.
These fucking... No. How long are you sticking around in town for?
I'll be here. I got to leave Thursday. Normally,
you're
I
not
like
hanging out for Radwood.
No, normally I like staying the second day of the show, but I have to get out.
Yeah. Do we have anything the fans want to know? The fans?
Oh, the fans.
The fans.
We covered some of it. How's
your I'm bummed you're not going to be here for Radwood.
I know it sucks.
As for my birthday party.
Where's your birthday?
This is the night before Radwood. December 1st is my birthday. Friday.
December 1st.
Yeah.
By
the time
this
podcast airs, it will have come and gone.
Wow.
But all of you out there, I'm sure I will have gotten birthday wishes, and thank you.
Well, happy birthday if I don't see you.
Thanks. 36. I'm going to be...
Wow, 36.
I'm in my late
30s. You're like an
30s.
Adult. Yeah, yeah.
My late 30s.
You an adult.
Well, and now I'm engaged, so now it's a thing.
Oh, right. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's a thing, too. Yeah.
Wow.
Now I'm really a fucking adult.
You are an adult, sir.
Yeah. It's all right. We got some things.
How's your MR2?
Oh my God! I meant to talk about this today.
Well, now you're still here.
All right.
never die.
It's never till you're still here. I don't know what to do with it, so I need some ideas.
I just drove an MR2 that had the 2ZZ swap, which is the Elise motor,
right?
And I have a video coming out very soon with it.
Oh, cool!
And it is nice.
Do you know who used to have one of those? Wait a minute. Who had one of those? Somebody we know had one of those.
I don't fucking know.
Let me think about it. Oh, Damon Lavrins.
Oh, okay.
Formerly of Autoblog Wired Magazine.
The dude said it was a cheap swap.
Yeah.
And the car drove nice. And if you're tired of it and want to do something cool, like it seemed like a cool way to spend less than 10 grand all in everything. To have something fun.
So there's an MR2. So you know Tim Stevens from CNET or from Roadshow?
I don't think so.
So Tim has a second gen, right? And he just
roundy
got...
Roundy one?
The roundy one.
Yeah, okay. Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah. So he just got... I wish I remember. There's a shop in Jersey that does sick motors.
I just was in Texas and fuck me.
I know, I've heard of those
the
guys down
in
there.
Texas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I'm in a blank.
I can't remember either.
Are you prepared to do
again, Tim? I need to see my who I tagged. I can't talk about this without talking about the guy.
Spiderworks?
The guys in Texas. No, go down to when I was in Texas with the turbo Ferrari and shit. It's from a couple weeks ago. There you go. Who did I tag in that? What's the name of the shop? I'm blanking.
AAT Racing? ATS Racing?
ATS Racing. Thank you. ATS Racing in Texas. I drove two of their cars. Second gen MR2, 450 wheel horsepower, 850 wheel horsepower.
Oh my god!
And both the cars had like a bunch of miles on it. The 450 wheel car had, I think, something like 30,000 or 40,000 miles on that motor trouble.
Wow!
And the car was fuck all fast.
Wow!
Woo!
That seems like a very good thing to build.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna look at the video soon, Zach. You'll
Are
be
you?
Editing it.
That's true.
See, you could get one of them.
Well, I can't. I don't. I mean, the 2ZZ is the obvious swap. There's no 3G swap for mine. You
no.
can't get that in there.
No.
You
could also sell it and get a car that's cooler.
Well, that's
than
the
that.
Other thing. Right, exactly.
There's that, too.
Am I committed to the
right.
concept?
Are you willing to spend money or work to swap this thing?
The problem with the MR2 is it is a real... It's the Miata for people who can drive. I'm just kidding. Come on.
That's funny.
Yeah, no one races Miatas.
No, they're just... I'm just kidding. It is a sadly underdriven platform, and everybody who drives one goes, oh, shit, this is the fucking one. This is the thing I should have been driving instead of Miata. But people didn't buy them, so they cost too much. It costs too much to work on them. The parts cost too much. The aftermarket doesn't have the breadth.
Look into this motor swap.
So I'm,
the one I drove was fucking cool, man. It was a lot of fun. Is yours a stick?
Yeah.
It is. It's already a stick.
That's well, it's either... Yeah, mine's a stick, but it also had that crazy weird...
Oh, I drove one of those, too. It was not good.
Those aren't great,
no,
yeah.
It's not good.
It's like a...
auto stick,
it's an auto
whatever
stick.
Bullshit it was.
It's got to be an automated...
Yeah, it was
kind of
weird
that.
As fuck. You know what was weird about it? It had really sluggish upshifts and really fast, smooth downshifts.
Oh.
Usually it goes the other way around. Mm-hmm. Like, and this was the opposite of
that's
that.
That's weird.
It was very strange. The manual's the one, but manual, 2ZZ... Done.
Yeah. Okay.
And
that's
then some
good,
like
that's a good
and then
idea.
Like a medium level coilover combination. Like a like a BC Racing or like a something like a KW
and
variant
just a,
one.
And a really good alignment. I rate like a like a street alignment.
What's the nearest place you could drive a car like that in the way it should be driven?
Okay. That brings up
by
another
him?
Problem. See,
because I don't
that brings
I'm
oh, no,
a question.
Bear Mountain
know. Bear Mountain oh
yeah,
sure like,
up north, northern Westchester.
You mean like okay. around yeah, yeah, on yeah, streets, yeah, yeah. yeah. Track-wise, the problem is that I need to get a cage for, or I need to get at least a roll. The problem is there's
what?
A standard roll bar for it that's not SCCA approved because it doesn't have any. It doesn't have the stanchions that go and attach to the frame. There's a couple of like custom things that guys do that would either take over the passenger seat and do other stuff, and then it'll be strong enough to actually drive on a track. That's the other problem with it, but it's not really
a
track
point,
car.
Like, what's worth? Is it worth it? Like, you know.
I know, but it's the car of diminishing returns.
So no
at a certain point, you're talking about you know,
yeah.
the Boxster,
right, right,
whatever.
Sure.
Know.
So then, do I just sort of bring it back to stock and sell it? To your point, just kind of clean it up.
If you're
going to
sell it, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of money on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
I would do whatever you can do for as little money as you can do it for.
Yeah, whatever helps sell
it
quickly.
In that kind of condition.
I like that.
I would miss it if I sold it. But that's I don't fun. Know. It's something to consider.
If you've got somewhere to keep it where it's not in the way, then it's, that's the thing. It's not so costing you money.
I have cars stashed all over the city now. It's really crazy.
Do you? How many cars do you have? I thought you have more than two cars.
No, I have the well. Okay, so
I've got a Jensen Interceptor.
No, I mean really, I only have. I'm looking for another thing though.
You
right
want
now.
Another thing?
I want another thing. And so
I when people want new things.
Yeah.
I know what you want.
Matt just
I know what
elevator
you want.
Eyes.
Here's what you want. Here's what you want, Spinelli. I'm going to save you
Go
a lot
ahead.
Of money right now.
Go ahead.
You want a vintage Seiko.
Oh, I do want a vintage
Seiko. He was almost pulling the trigger on vintage Seikos, but
God.
He never did it.
Yeah, I didn't. I almost Seiko. So I was on Crown and Caliber the other day.
Yes. Plug them.
Plug.
Hashtag sponsored. Hashtag branding.
Because I've been, it's funny that that should be a thing now because I've been going on there. That's where most of my watch porning.
I actually legit do have a deal with them.
Yeah,
that's not,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
but because I've been porning on there for years since they've been around, since they started advertising on Facebook.
They have a good selection actually.
They have
some nice watches on that bitch.
I wish they had more Hoyers from the 70s. That's my sort of my moment, right? I got to get like either a Montreal or
I
like
can,
an Autovia.
Make an introduction. You can have a request, and they can look around and find you one.
Oh, that would be neat.
I have them looking out for me for some a thing that I don't even want to say what it is.
But good idea.
I'm not going to say what it is because someone's going to find it and buy it. And
yeah, that's right.
Off. But yeah, we could get you into watches.
Okay.
Or are you not a motorcycle guy?
Okay, so I've given it up because I can't trust myself.
Okay.
I told you about that story where I drove back from Santa Barbara. It was 40 degrees, and I just didn't bring enough gear because...
Did you look like Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber?
Exactly. I had to drop the bike off at the shop in Ventura Boulevard in the valley somewhere. And I just didn't... I can't picture... Because I'm from New York. I don't get the space of things. Hey, Santa Barbara's here, and L.A., the valley is here somewhere. I get to Thousand Oaks, I think I'm almost there. Right? Like, I don't know where anything is. I still have another hour or something until I get down to Sherman Oaks. Whatever. And so I just didn't bring enough stuff. So I got down there. I should have pulled over. I was just being stupid, but I had to get a flight to the Raptor Moab launch, right? So this is like I was
Borrego Springs,
right? I was going from the 991 911 launch in Santa Barbara. This is like peak auto journalist.
So full of shrimp.
So full of shrimp. Aww. I'm full of shrimp.
Cold shrimp on this cold motorcycle ride.
I'm on a Moto Guzzi a V2 racer,
oh my
which was
God.
The which was amazing bike. I really enjoyed that. But anyway, so like I'm in like full auto journalist like you know, and
Moto Guzzi provided Carmen Electra for you. This is just
exactly.
The ultimate journalist trip.
It was the ultimate journalist trip, and I almost died. Yeah. Right. So after that, I went like, if you can't be fucking responsible, you don't get to ride motorcycles.
Yo, I mean, honestly, as an example of your lack of responsibility, that's a weak ass story. I thought you were going to say, like, you crashed at 150, and that's why you can't trust yourself to bring
no,
a jacket.
Look,
that's basically what you can't trust yourself to do on a motorcycle is
bring
a fucking jacket.
Don't you think that's worse? I think that's worse. I think if I was
so
irresponsible.
Okay, if you can't even trust yourself to bring a jacket,
exactly.
How could you be expected to not run over school children?
That was a little bit of someone who flies business class, and they're like, well, they serve my tea. Hot, warm, but not hot.
No,
and I know when it's hot, it's too hot to drink,
understand.
But I like it to cool.
I was wearing a light jacket. It was 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, I almost had
the oldest Jewish story.
I understand,
dude.
But, like, that's a
Jewish,
weak story.
I didn't put a knee down, you know, on my way up.
I fell down a hill. I broke 21 bones. I rode in a helicopter. And I lived in the hospital for a month.
Yeah.
That is an irresponsible motorcycle story.
Right, but
you see, oh, my nipples were so hard against my sweater.
But did you not ride again after that?
No.
I didn't. No.
Okay, so there you go. And now if that
think
bar,
about the two
that bar is
that
set
cause
here.
Him to not do something ever again and then what causes you to not do something ever again.
But that bar
again.
Is here. My bar is just
stupidity. Let me ask you a question.
Stupidity.
If you
it's
went to a
here.
Movie and it was cold and you forgot your jacket, would you then never go to a movie again?
If I almost... If I,
it has about
if
the
I,
same to do with
my
that.
My mom would can not
a,
go again.
Can a movie kill you? Because hypothermia.
Like
people.
You ever see The Ring? I think so.
Oh, yeah. It's true. Anyway... It's not a great story.
Okay.
Not like,
fine. So,
but anyway, so motorcycle.
Silly ass reason you're not getting a bike.
You are Costanza's father.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
no
wait a
movies.
Minute. All right. Now,
out of popcorn. No movies.
What bike would you say if I were to get back on motorcycles? What
oh,
would that
like
be?
You know, you could do like the Bonneville or the Speed Triple, something like that.
Everybody loves
Suzuki
Scrambler,
Bandits.
Right?
So I like everything about the Scrambler except the fact that it's made in China. That bugs me. But
I like there's a Honda CB 1100 now, right? That looks like
old
one. I like that a lot. I rode that recently.
Jack Baruth has one of those.
Does he
ride it? It's a heavy bike.
It's heavy, but you know,
it's a lot of bike.
Yeah.
Dude, that's 1100?
It's not like a super sport bike. It's like an 1100 that makes probably like, you know, 105 horsepower.
Yeah. I mean, I like big bikes. I would rather be on a big bike than a small one because I'm not a, you know, real agile
rider. What about
like
a BMW F800
that's nice
GS?
Yes.
Die on that.
The Scrambler?
No, the Adventure Tour, the 800.
I can't reach the...
more.
It's the smaller one.
Oh,
not
I haven't tried that one.
The 1200, I believe, one. You probably can't. But
you can get a lower suspension on the 800 too.
Yeah. Show Mike the F800 GS.
I like the Scrambler a lot because it's the riding position is perfect.
Does Ducati have the equivalent of a Scrambler, but that's fucking made in Italy instead of China?
I think so. Ooh.
See, that's nice. Can pull that up, Tim.
Yeah.
That's an F800 GS.
That's nice.
So upsides are it's like light, and it really is like a slightly smaller version of the 1200 GS.
Mm-hmm.
Downsides, it's a parallel twin, so it sounds a little bit like a sewing machine. Besides that, it's a sweet little bike.
I like it.
I like it. That's a good color right there. Pull that one up, Tim. That's a fucking bitchin' color.
That is nice.
I would have one in that color all day. That looks nice.
Yeah.
What color is that? Like a green gold? Green? Can anyone see it?
Yeah, bronzy, greeny
gold. It's like a bronzy, camo greenish. Like an olive bronze, Bronzino. I think.
It's really nice, yeah.
Or you could get a scooter. I love my fucking scooter. I rode all day today.
Mike's too much of a badass for a scooter.
Too much of a man.
I'm a little bit too much of a badass for a scooter.
Too much of a man for
you
a scooter.
You can't be from Queens and ride a scooter.
Where are you going to ride? Hey, what is that thing?
What about a Grand National? Spinelli and a Grand National.
I think I sort of should have one. I wanted one back then when it beat me. I chipped Grand National, beat the shit out of me. I was in my friend's Trans Am, and it was fucking fast. And the guys pulled over. It was on Central Avenue in Yonkers.
Yeah.
You know, right by the old Nathan's. Pull over at Nathan's.
I love that Nathan's.
I know. So the guy, I go, what the hell? What happened? And the guy with his he was wearing parachute pants. I mean, like right out of Central Casting. He goes,
he
goes, I got no. He goes, no, it's not stock. He goes, I got a little secret weapon under here. And I go, what? What are you talking about? He goes, I got a chip. That's how long ago this was, by the way. That was the first chip. That was the first chip that like Mega Chips. One of the chip companies.
Hyper Chips.
Maybe it was Hyper Chips. It was one of the 3800 was the first, the Turbo 3800 was the first chip that they made. I think it was Hyper Chips. Mega Chip?
Hyper
Mega Squirt?
Super Chips?
Super
Chips?
I don't think it was Super Chips. They're British, right?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Honestly, I think it was, I might have been Hyper, Mega, who the hell knows?
Just so you make a column.
Just a real word and plug in.
Exactly. Jalop Nick.
Yeah. What else we got from Facebook? Yeah.
Was there anything that came redeeming that came out of the full size cars of the mid 70s? I love me some LTD, but
my first car was a 1973 Buick Century, and the redeeming quality of that was the size of the back seat.
Yeah, bow chicka bow wow. I think can you give us a picture of a 73 Buick Century? I think that may have been a
four-door. Four-door, yeah.
Is there a two-door also?
There was a really nice... I really liked the two-door. I wanted the GS. There was a sort of malaise
Adam
era.
Ferrara rolled up to lunch in Malibu in the two-door version of that.
Oh, he should if I didn't. Not that.
That's not it?
No, that's not
that's
a Century.
LeSabre.
That's a LeSabre.
No,
yeah.
Where's the Century?
That the front of the LeSabre.
Oh, is that it?
No, that's a LeSabre.
That's a LeSabre as well. That's a two-door.
Okay, yeah, that's a two-door.
That's definitely what Adam Ferrara rolled up to breakfast in.
Wow.
Buick Century.
They did a GS version that's really nice.
It was big.
There was a dude in high school in our muscle car club who had an LTD, and it was
faster.
You had
a muscle car club in high school? What?
I did too. I had a Mustang club with Larry.
Well, with Larry, you and Larry started it. Right.
Yeah. Well, there was like six of us, but yeah, me and Larry.
We had Wow, that's
you guys
crazy.
Had the mob. You had clubs.
That's right. We had the mob.
Yeah,
that was our club.
Our club beats the shit out of people and makes money.
We take football bets. What do you call that club? Football bet club. Yeah,
well,
that would be a
that's
good
awesome.
Car for you. Spinelli.
That was it. And I had Steelys and those dopey
nice.
Little cups. I had that's exactly what I had, except it was blue and it was three on the tree.
Oh,
have we never talked about this?
About your Century? No, I don't think we have.
Three in the tree, and the linkage would jam, and I took it apart and put it back together like three times, and I could never get it to actually work because it was this sort of weird thing. It came down to the side of the transmission. Yeah. It was like that Saginaw three-speed whatever. And was it Saginaw? Yeah, one of the – like name a city in Michigan.
Muncie.
No, because Muncie was the good one.
Yeah.
I want to say Saginaw. I think
Kalamazoo.
It's the Kalamazoo three-speed.
Grand Rapids.
the Grand Rapids Hydro.
Ann Arbor.
Um, Anyway, so it kept doing that, and finally I got a guy to put a Hurst shifter on top, and he had to cut a hole.
A Hurst shifter through the floor?
Through the floor.
Oh, okay. So they would change it from a... Is there a, like...
No, he had to do a custom, sort of some weird
that.
Custom
I
thing.
I like that picture.
Oh, there
too.
You
that's,
go.
That's where
nice.
You should be going.
That's with, where we, yeah.
So you had car. A you had a three-speed... Three-speed floor shift.
Three-speed floor shifter, right?
Weird.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
Shifting was it on an H pattern when you convert it? Was it a 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. Wow, where was... No, was it a... Couldn't have
a
been
dog
a dog leg.
Yeah, it could have. Because if it was the first, on the tree, it might have been.
You know, it was because...
Because yeah.
Three
you're right.
Speed with a dog
two,
leg
two,
first.
Yeah.
Wow, holy crap.
A
I forgot all about
configuration.
That.
Configuration. I finally drove my first 4+3. Remember those?
Oh, my God,
it was,
yeah.
It was on the Callaway Twin Turbo Corvette, 88, with a 4+3.
With the lockout?
With the fucking button.
Or there was just a button.
I thought that was a good idea.
Wait, what is a 4+3?
So it was a 4-speed transmission with a 2-speed power glide transmission on the back of it. So you'd go first, second, third, fourth, through an H pattern, hit a button, and go back to first.
So it's like a semi-truck.
Second,
it's like high-low.
Yeah.
Whoa! Yeah, yeah. I have never heard of this before.
4+3.
Yeah, that was that came out when I was at T.A. Byrne Chevrolet in 1986.
That's really weird.
It was really weird. It's it was bizarre.
It was very bizarre.
What God? What year? What did that come out in 86? Or was that
I
after
think
that?
The car I drove was like an 87, maybe.
Yeah,
or
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
I always thought it was strange. Manual cars that had electronic overdrive. My dad's P1800 had that. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you hit a button. And suddenly the RPMs go down, and I was just like, I don't trust this blinker. Because you know, it was. It's a stock. You push it down, and then...
Yeah.
And
like, huh. Anyway, so I beat a lot of Corvettes. Not Corvettes. I beat some Camaros.
I'm sorry, in what?
In that? In the Buick Century. Bring it up. Yeah,
kind of fucking Camaros.
Oh no, I had a
Camaros.
No. Does that
have a real motor?
When I was done, it had a 350. And,
oh, it did. Okay.
Did a little bit of top end work to it, and
intake and carb.
Intake and carb.
Yeah, that's.
And
that's like when you're a slow kid and you buy new shoes and you're like, I'm fast. Because I did the same thing in my Pontiac.
No, but really, like it was fast enough. I mean, honestly,
dude, we all ran
15s. If I had 220 horsepower in this, it was still more than what a, you know, an off the lot Z28 had.
Oh, wow. Like an early 80s fucking Z28,
yeah.
That had like 180 and
yeah,
nothing.
I crushed every Guido in Yonkers from except
Guido crusher.
I mean, that was an interesting time because it was a time I was talking to somebody about this recently that it's a time before Hondas were fast. Like, it's such a weird, like, there was a moment after that all of a sudden Hondas were fast, and it was like, oh, okay, the world just changed. But,
we
like,
make a film called A Day Without Hondas.
A Day Without Hondas. This is, it's so funny, because, like, that's the thing about being a little bit older, is that you remember when there were no Hondas.
That would be a great, like, shoot it, like, 70s, 80s period, but it's like a sarcastic comedy of... Yeah, I just put the new intake on. I'm running 17.1 tonight. And it's just like talking shit and all the specs
like
are terrible.
Yeah, like real serious drag racing with real accurate times and they just sound awful.
That would sad be, as hell.
God, yeah, that would be funny. Because that's
broken in 16s. Slicks. The Slicks did it.
And then the end, to kind of allude to the sequel, is like a magazine hits the table and it's like the CRX SI coming.
No, the magazine hits the table and it goes, the new Corvette will be mid-engine. It's from the 70s.
I mean, you know, it's funny because cars were so cheap. Like, I had a friend that had a 68 GTX, Plymouth GTX, with a built 440.
Whoa.
I think it was $2,800 or something. And that's like, yeah, all right, yeah. I mean, there's adjusted for inflation, but still, that would be
it was
$6,000, $5,000?
Yeah, $7,000 maybe, yeah.
It's crazy. Cars were, I mean, it was like, everybody had like a, you know, like a Holley carb in their basement that they would just give you.
You know, it was like leftover from their hot rod and gaze.
Exactly. Yeah. Was that a 650 CFM double pumper? No, it's a single pumper. But it's a, I mean,
it's like you just did like a Tony Clifton. It was good.
Oh, I love Tony Clifton.
Well, did you watch the Jim Carrey documentary, The Jim and Andy?
No, I haven't
Andy
seen it
and
yet.
Jim or whatever it's called, Jim and Andy. It's basically about Jim Carrey method acting Andy Kaufman to like a fucking crazy degree. Like, where he is acting like Andy Kaufman to Andy Kaufman's real parents and stuff like that. Oh. It's interesting. Okay. It's on Netflix, and like,
is it better than Man on the Moon? I did not enjoy that.
You didn't like Man on the Moon?
Not really.
I
understand.
I mean,
that
if you didn't like the movie, I don't imagine you'd like the behind the scenes so much.
If you hated the movie, I don't have to tell you, you'll love the BTS.
I mean, Jim Carrey's a weird fucking guy. You know, he's got some interesting world views.
Wait, does he do Tony Clifton in Man on the Moon?
Yeah.
Or does Paul Giamatti do it?
No, he does both? It. Okay. Yeah, he does both.
Does Paul Giamatti play what's the guy's name?
Bob Zmuda.
Bob Zmuda, yeah.
The real Bob Zmuda is in... No. He does play Bob Zmuda. Sorry, Danny DeVito plays George, the manager. Whoever, Shapiro, George Shapiro.
Oh, not the Animal Steel. No. Oh, the late George the Animal Steel was a wrestler.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. Anyway.
Got anything else before we get the fuck out of here? It's a long show, son. Is
someone,
it? Feels like it is.
What's the next level for Drive? For the Drive, for video. Any news? Any things?
Well.
Are you not want to talk about it?
No, it's we're in some ways we're sort of back to starting over again, right? So we have to like do the stuff that we did in the last 10 years all over again. So on one hand, the TV stuff I think is really promising. I think there's a possibility of doing more with television, which is sort of weird because we came up out of internet, and now it's just because of the nature of the business, linear TV is worth more because it's a smaller, it's kind of a managed, it's like a, you know, supply and demand. It's like a managed supply. So it's worth more. You go on the internet and there are a million things and it all drives the price of advertising down, mm-hmm. whatever.
Internet's there's currently a race to the bottom happening right now, which is why I'm bailing out of YouTube before we actually hit the bottom.
I mean, that's really sad, right? Yeah. I mean, that's like, this is where we... I mean, and people don't really understand. They don't care. Like, they just want to watch what
you
they want to watch,
and
which is fine.
I have both been now part of three races to the bottom. The first was the death of print.
Yes.
For you with 0 to 60.
Right.
Which for me was when I graduated... college with a degree in photography and film,
right.
And then the DSLR and Craigslist eliminated that, right. And then for you it was the print magazine, and then the race to the bottom round two was starting over after Next New Networks took a shit,
right.
And then race to the bottom three right now is the volume, you know, the guys who are really cleaning house on YouTube are these unwatchable daily vloggers that are doing 7 days. They're doing 365 videos a year, and some of them are. I tried because there was a Reddit thread about what one of them makes, and I don't even want to fucking say the person's name, or how much it was. It was so much money that Doug DeMuro called me.
When Doug calls, you're like, what?
When I don't hear from him very often, but. When he hit me up and went, yo, I almost fell off my fucking chair when I saw it. And I was like, this is the guy who's like smoking me right now, going like, yeah, can you believe it?
Wait a minute.
These vloggers are like
making it from YouTube or from doing other stuff? Or
from YouTube. Someone posted a screenshot of their like revenue.
Oh.
And it was like their estimate for a month was like 50 G's.
Yeah.
That's just rev share?
Yeah.
Not partnerships or anything?
I mean, if I understood the...
He's doing daily vlogs and running... three ads per video and doing 30 videos. So he's getting like a $5 CPM and his videos get 200,000 views. He's doing 30 of them a month.
Yeah. I mean...
But I couldn't do it. I was talking to Doug. I was like, the appeal of that is, you know...
Well, and also, I mean, the content they have to make. Like, there are people I like as personalities on YouTube and I like their content, but the content I like from one of their daily videos will be 3 minutes of the video, and they put that in the headline, and like that is what they make the focus of their video. So you go, oh cool, I want to see this thing. The first 10 minutes are them getting coffee and talking about whatever and did it, and then they get to like, you know, the workout thing that they advertise, and then the end is like also bullshit.
Yeah.
So it's just, and they know that the people are there to see the person that they grew to like, but they flesh out the video with a bunch of shit.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it, because I don't understand any of it. And this is where I think there's kind of a generation gap. I don't get watching these guys because I wasn't there, I guess, in the beginning. So I don't like you have to really feel like you're part of their scene. Like I remember, I mean, it's like I can say that I remember listening to Howard Stern and going, "Wow, this is a kind of thing that's happening," and like I'm, you know, it was sort of cool to be part of this, you know, bunch of guys
well,
that
here's
are hanging
a,
out.
Here's a Howard Stern question then, if speaking of that. If yeah. you would you rather listen to the Howard Stern show as a fan of Howard Stern, right? Would you rather listen to Howard Stern's show mm-hmm. when he goes to work and is prepared and has guests, celebrity guests and whatever, or would you rather watch a reality show about Howard Stern, wow. but that he fucking filmed himself with an iPhone.
That's exactly a good point. Right? Yeah, I would know. I like
so the
I like
content
the
that we
yeah.
like and the content that a lot of my friends like are like here's Jason Fenske, good example. He's been on the show before. Engineering Explained.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
I his show. He that Jason is the person. Engineering Explained is the show.
Yeah.
When the show is over, he goes back to Jason being the person.
Yeah.
And while I like Jason, I don't need to watch a show about Jason doing his daily shit. I want to watch the show about the thing he's good at making
he
the show about.
He puts a lot into making that yeah, show, and I yeah. want to watch the
Doug
thing he
too,
put a lot
and
into.
So do us. Yeah. Like, we make the show. Like, my life outside the show is boring as fuck. I cook dinner. I go to the gym. I feed my cats. Like, I can't imagine just sitting there like staring at a camera and be like, hey, guys, like, today I'm going to the grocery store.
You know, that's interesting. I mean, I think that there's a sort of credibility that comes from I mean, for the audience we're talking about, there's a credibility that comes from watching somebody live the life.
Yeah, they
and,
want that.
And they
shit.
And they think that if you're not living the life, then you're faking it, and that's bad. Like in other words, when you show up professionally to do something,
mm-hmm.
it's like you're faking it that day. In other words, if you were living that,
okay.
and everything you did sort of was part of the video thing that you're shooting, like a yeah. real reality thing, like that's almost more credible. Because I had one commenter.
Well, that's what we tried to do, kind of with Discovery Channel and yeah. History Channel. It's not. I don't know what's really happening with it. It's sort of in just fucking. I don't know the ether somewhere, where it's the show about me and Zach and Thad and Tom making the show.
Right, right, right.
So
I mean, that could be cool. I think though that one commenter I think explained it the best. Right. And it was explained in a way that was directed as an insult, but but it actually was pretty enlightening. He
go
said,
fuck your mother. What we really extrapolate from exactly. that, you know,
so,
like a poetry teacher.
By fuck, he means... No, what he said was, and I'm assuming it's a he said, every time you see an edit, it's an opportunity to lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's why one takes are so appealing.
True.
To yeah. to that kind of mindset.
Yes.
And then I'm thinking, well, fuck, we've worked with some of the best editors that we know and even other guys that are just great editors, and like that's putting the show together with an edit is to me that's the gig.
Yeah.
But to these guys, to guys with a particular YouTuber mindset that like that's every time you cut the camera, you could be lying.
Yeah, there. I heard the same thing with the one takes that was sort of the appeal of them was
yeah.
that there was there they came off as very authentic.
Yeah, and I never understood that until that comment happened, and mm-hmm. and so I guess I get it, but it makes me feel weird because I don't like I don't know I mean lie that's I don't
I
know
just think
what
it's
to
weird
do with
for if you're like a quote vlogger like. There's an air of self-importance about it. Like, right. I need to speak this to my people.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, okay, I tweet, sure. I post on Instagram, sure. But, like, I don't know. There's just, yeah. I don't, unless it's, like, about the one topic that you're doing the thing about, it just to me.
Well, that's, right, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm excited about a topic, and I, if it's an article, if I'm researching it and writing it, it's a big process. But at the end of it, like, I'm bringing you this thing that I spent all this time on.
Yeah.
Like, what I do while I'm doing that doesn't fucking matter. Like, it's not... Yeah. Like, if I'm going... If
what's
I'm on the
but
phone...
But what's unfortunate is the value to someone selling advertising against that content
yeah.
of your thoroughly researched project or me doing a video. Like, the value to an advertiser, I hate to say it, of me doing a one take or you doing a well-researched article is probably less... Mm-hmm. than of this dude or these series of people doing vlog videos with a super engaged audience, and they pull like
a 9-minute retention or something.
Yeah.
You know, true. Maybe if Eddie Vedder did one, you know, and my fucking hero.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But if, you know, McLaren Dave 1-2-3, you know, like, who are you?
Right.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
I
why
know.
Do I give a fuck? So I don't know. Maybe I'm just old and bitter, and that's why. Not fucking doing volume internet videos anymore.
I think we all have pride in what we put out, and there are people that maybe they've just seen the vlog thing as a way to make far more money than they ever dreamed of, and I can't knock that. And they're playing the system.
No, I can't knock 50 G's a month
either. Like
no.
they, you know, if they're like, dude, my audience will watch me brush my hair and talk about it.
But
I'll
they're
do
bringing.
That.
I mean, I get the whole allure of bringing. Like they're having an experience. They're sort of bringing you along with it. Like they're buying a car. You can't buy a car, so you're watching them, and they're not.
That,
leaving anything
with,
out
I agree
because
that's on topic. If you're watching an automotive person and they do something with a car, yes. It's when I watch like there's a fitness dude I follow, but when he is like, I'm going to build a deck today. I'm like, sweet.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
But they do, and people do a lot of those, and I think a lot of the car people do that. And they also sometimes have edits in there.
Right.
So there's like there are cut points in that as well.
Yeah.
So it's a constantly changing, strange universe.
Yeah. But you're to Matt's point, like my life is totally uninteresting. If I had a camera on me, I mean it would be the worst show. And
yeah, like,
I don't
want a camera around and film myself running fucking errands, and there would be people who would watch it, but like you ain't gonna catch me doing that shit.
Yeah.
That's all. I can't find myself interesting enough to go, I need to turn this camera on and say this shit right now. Like, I don't find myself that interesting when I'm outside of the one thing that I know how to do.
Right.
I guess
right.
it's just the reality TV ingredient. The same people that will watch the Kardashians go get tires put on their car will watch another person they like do something that's outside their whatever.
Do you know what? It's amazing. And follow me on this analogy for one second. I'll make it really quick. Eddie Van Halen was my hero as a guitar player, right? And I tried my damnedest to be able to play all the stupid, you know, tapping and all that other shit he used to do. Eddie did a lot of cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But 12 and 13 and 14-year-old me did not. So I was learning stuff that he came up with high as fuck, right? So,
right. Okay.
So like, I was, like, I didn't have the crutch, but I was able to do it without the cocaine. Where the hell was I going with this?
I don't know.
But wait a minute. Real reality television in the early days of reality television had a lot of production value. A lot of producers were steering the story. There was a lot of editing, a ton of editing actually. So it wasn't really real. What's happened is the people that grew up watching reality TV and assuming it was real have been doing really real versions of that. That's better than the produced.
Oh, so you're
reality.
Saying who grew up watching reality TV have now created YouTube vlogs that are more authentic than reality television.
And better because their model is something that they thought was done.
So if they
grew up
watching Survivor, which is obviously tons of editing and produced and everything, and then that's their impetus.
Or not even you want to go to something like Big Brother, not even Big Brother. Real World seemed like it wasn't produced as much as it was, but it was hugely produced.
Yeah, does everyone not know that? I feel like I know that.
No, but I think that younger than us, people younger than you, even who grew up sort of with that sort of.
I guess I encounter people all the time that think things that happen on television are real. I encounter these people constantly.
Right, but when
there's nothing real on television.
Right,
nothing.
But when they go to do a vlog, right, they're following something that they, you know, that like their influence to do that thing is
that it's real.
That it's real.
Yeah.
So the thing they're doing is actually real, and it's better than the produced stuff.
I know your point. Okay. Here for me anyway.
Yeah.
I'd rather do something than watch a person that's sort of like me do something.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, sure.
I like watching people do things I can't do.
Yes.
I don't like watching people do things I can do because I'd rather just go do the thing.
That's where bad comments come from because people are watching people do things that they could do, but they're not doing them.
Yeah.
And so they're just mad and mad that they
there's
could
almost
be doing
nothing
it.
Special about me that has led me to the position that I'm in besides willingness to do the things to get there.
Right. Right.
Nothing at all, really.
Right.
Dude who likes cars.
I hope we're in a big like evolution of people's behavior with that, because we've had these like feeder tubes of content where we live vicariously by watching people do stuff. Like, mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, I hope people hit a wall and go, oh, wow, I keep taking this in and I'm not fulfilled with what I want to do. So I should go drive the thing or build the thing or build the house or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Instead of watching someone do all the things I like. Like we grew up watching Top Gear going, oh, I wish I could do that. That's awesome. Oh, they're sliding this or doing this. Eventually we went outside and figure out how to go kind of chase that thing.
Right.
And I just think there's probably going to be generations of turnover that go, oh, I'm watching YouTube, blah, 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 and now I'm fucking bored. And yeah, like every right. few years. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get the kids who I meet who say they're YouTubers who grew up watching our stuff. They're like now, and they graduated from college. They started when they were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they're doing whatever it is that they're doing. And there's even generations of that now. Like there's like the guys who watched us. Like people are watching them and do. So it's
yeah.
like
yeah, yeah. It's happening faster and faster. Yeah. And if you're that's what's happening.
None of these people that are like. Are they forwarding the medium? You know what I mean? That's what I really am. My concern is are they, I mean, like digital photography has forwarded the medium pretty beyond where film was. Like it took a while.
Yeah.
It was shitty and that, no, but like, you know, does, yeah. Okay. Vlogging or whatever is authentic, but is it forwarding the medium at all?
It's funny. We're not going to know that. Somebody's going to emerge. And we're going to go, oh, they changed everything.
Yeah.
And it may not be Shmi. It may not be Vehicle Virgins. It may not be the guys that are. But later on, somebody is going to be in there that is the top gear of that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think we got to call that. That's a good way to end that show. I like that. Mike Spinelli, Drive, NBC Sports, The Drive. Yeah. Mike Spin, Mike Spinelli on Instagram.
Sure.
Mike Spin on Twitter.
Mike Spin on Twitter. Twitter seems to be my. I know you're all Instagram and shit.
Instagram is my preferred method of output for social media. Twitter's where I shit on Donald Trump mostly.
Yes.
I
seem to do best on Twitter, so it's Mike Spin on Twitter.
Mike Spin on Twitter. Thanks for hanging out, homie.
You got
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy the LA Auto Show. I'm sorry you can't hang out for Radwood.
Well, next time.
That was a good show. I enjoyed that one. That was nice.
Nice to see you.
That was nice.
Very good.
Very nice. Thanks for coming. The Smoking Tire Podcast, powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast, shoutengine.com. Microphone, computer, thing to say into the internet. Eventually, you probably want to figure out someone to listen to you. That's the next step. That's the next one to add. Find an audience. Now, we can go. Good night.